about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Now, let the guy in your ear talk to
you. Is anyone talking in my ear?
Okay.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Wow, song named after a girl. There aren't a million of those already.
Name 20.
Rosanna, Roxanne, Michelle, Allison, Sarah, Angie, Brandy, Mandy, Gloria, Cecilia, Maggie Mae, Jessica, Nancy, Barbara Ann, Billie Jean, Layla, Lola, Polly, Helena, Jenny from the Block.
Name 6 more.
Sherry, Laura, Wendy, Maria, Peggy Sue, Minnie the Moocher.
Name 5 more.
Tracy, Jean, Jane, Mary Ann, Eleanor Rigby.
Go f*** yourself.
You're pretty much perfect, aren't you?
Have a blast.
Is there a flaw at all in you?
No. Get off it.
And now.
What if my heart stops beating? What if I'm looking for a bathroom, I can't find it, and my bladder explodes?
Our feature presentation.
Legitimate question, by the way. What happens if that happens?
Sure.
Trying to find a bathroom and your bladder explodes. Then what?
Could happen, man. Don't tell me. I know.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:35. It's Tuesday morning, the 30th of April.
Wow. That means tomorrow's May, don't
yes,
you know?
Yes, it does.
That means the K-Rock We Heroes 2013 is 2 weeks from Saturday.
Yes, it is.
Just announced yesterday. Already coming up in 2 weeks. How about that? Tell you more about that in a few minutes. First, though, I want to tell you about my man, Michael Doyle. He and his friend Chaz Petaway were kicked off a flight the other day, a JetBlue flight. You're not going to believe why. I don't think I've heard a story like this before, but we go to part of the story from Fox 5 in Washington, D.C.
It's not just because he shouts things some might find offensive. No.
Oh, right. I forgot. Michael Doyle has Tourette's syndrome.
Tourette's so much.
That has to be tough, man. That's a tough card to draw right there, Tourette's, isn't it? For folks who don't recognize the name, that's where you shout things and you have no control over it whatsoever. And it's almost always you shouting things that are completely inappropriate for where you are. Usually it's bad language, but yeah, he's flying, so you can see where this is. You see where this is headed.
Michael Doyle, who's 19 and lives in Rockville, says he was denied a seat on JetBlue this week because of the one word he couldn't keep silent in his mind.
Any guesses?
The one word he couldn't keep silent. I'm going to say it's not the worst. I'm going to say it's bitch.
Okay, let's see if you're right.
With all the stuff in the news about the Boston bombings and stuff, I started taking bomb.
Bomb
what?
Is the word.
The bomb is the word that he couldn't stop saying?
Bomb.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It's bomb. That's bad timing on an airplane, kid.
Yeah,
that's,
no kidding.
That is no bueno.
Because that, when I get nervous, and anything on my mind will come out. So, and the things you're not supposed to say.
It didn't cause any issues at passenger screening.
We went through TSA saying bomb the whole time, and no one stopped us. No one said anything, because they were aware.
Now, he brought a note with him from his doctor to the airport.
I don't care.
He brought a note? Oh, really?
No.
So you come down on the side of the airline saying, let the guy out, even though he's no safety concern at all.
Poor bastard, but sorry.
That's interesting. Tell me why.
He's no
danger whatsoever. He's got a doctor's note that says he has Tourette's.
Yeah.
What is it you're afraid of happening?
I'm afraid it's not a real doctor's note and anything can happen. Sorry, dude. Walk.
So you really think he's a terrorist? You think he's a terrorist, and he's announcing it by saying bomb.
Do you have Tourette's?
Wouldn't a terrorist be the last person in the world to ever say bomb?
Right, but I'm just saying, wouldn't it hurt him to go on another flight than I'm on? Would that hurt him?
You're a tough room.
But just minutes before boarding, the JetBlue pilot put the kibosh on the trip.
To me, it looks, you know, like it was kind of discrimination, you know?
In a statement to Fox 5 News, JetBlue officials say Doyle was, quote, deemed a safety concern by the pilot in command after using the word bomb. After further investigation, the situation was deemed innocuous.
It doesn't make up for the embarrassment.
Or the fact that we missed
something we've been planning for 2 years.
I think what's really going on here, wait till you hear what they were planning and where they were going. I think what's really going on here is the airline knew he was 100% not a safety concern. They had
no
issues whatsoever about that. But they were concerned about the comfort of the other passengers on the plane who might be nervous by that. I think that's why they did it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm on this guy's court, and I think they should have let him fly.
You're on his side?
Until I found out where they were going.
Michael Doyle and Chaz Pettaway are friends and travel companions. We're booked on a JetBlue flight from Washington to San Juan, Puerto Rico Thursday to take part in a weekend Revolutionary War reenactment.
No, I'm sorry, sir. I apologize. We're not going to be able to accommodate you on this flight. You and your friend are going to have to go back home to your mom's basement and play in your Revolutionary War reenactments for another time.
Revolutionary War reenactment?
Who goes to a Revolutionary War reenactment in Puerto Rico, by the way?
I don't know. That's bizarre.
Because that was one of the sites of many great Revolutionary War battles. If you recall, Puerto Rico, that was a hot spot for the British versus Americans.
I don't care if that guy doesn't have Tourette's. You don't let them go to that particular event.
Yeah. I think the airline figures out a way to get that event canceled, too, not just the man's flight. So anyway, there you go. There's your story of Michael Doyle. I'd be interested sometime to have our listeners with Tourette's call in, do a phone topic on finding out what kinds of trouble they've gotten into because of something they couldn't stop saying.
You know me. I'm into that all the time.
I think that would be really, really interesting.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Kind of bringing down the room.
Hey, you haven't heard it yet. Amy Schumer's going to be here.
Oh, I love her so much.
Amy Schumer. She's got a new program called Inside Amy Schumer on Comedy Central.
It's pretty filthy.
It's pretty filthy, yeah. And funny, both. We have Kat Von D coming in the studio.
Oh, I love her so much.
Yes, you do. She's got a brand new book she's going to tell us about. We have Danny Blaze.
I love him so much.
Who we're going to talk to about his Kickstarter campaign, I believe. Yeah. I think that's what he wants.
Hey, if he can just get a tiny, tiny piece of the Zach Braff money, then we'll have an average homeboy movie.
That's right. And it might be the worst movie ever made. So I'm in. Comedian Rob Delaney will be on the program today.
Wow. I love him, too. What a show.
Matt Money Smith will be on the program today, too.
Not so crazy about him.
Talking about the NBA and the first gay NBA player that has come out. So that's coming up this morning as well, plus Brian Williams' autobiography.
Or Brian Wilson, either one.
Brian Wilson. What did I say, Williams?
I would buy Brian Williams' autobiography, though, too. He's my favorite newscaster.
That's the difference. Brian Wilson, I'm in, and yet I said the wrong name. All right, so that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Get yourself over there to krock.com and make sure you are signed up to be a street team member. That's all you need to do to be eligible to buy the tickets. Friday at noon for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013, Saturday, May 18th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. All the details at krock.com, but the Black Keys, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Vampire Weekend all up top. It's going to be a great show. Ralph is here, type of the Showbiz Beat for the first look here on a Tuesday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, boys and girls. You know, yesterday we had Jeff Boucher on from Entertainment Weekly talking about the new Cape Town Film Festival.
Yep.
Which is all sci-fi, superhero, fantasy screenings with some of the stars and creators of these projects to do Q&As at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood. So I've got some tickets to give away to one of the events. It's going to be John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yay!
Starring Kurt Russell. And John Carpenter himself will do a Q&A panel after the screening. One of my favorite horror/sci-fi films, and Kurt Russell's great in it. John Carpenter did a great job directing it. If you'd like to check it out at the Egyptian and then sit in on the Q&A panel with John Carpenter after the screening, why don't you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers who get through with that number, we get a pair of passes to go see The Thing on May the 2nd. Along with the Q&A with John Carpenter. We're going to do a lot of stuff early in the morning. I want to give people who are early risers a chance to win a little something.
There you go.
Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it.
I didn't realize John Carpenter was still alive, Ralph. I haven't heard that name. Does he still work in movies?
He does. He produces mostly now. Doesn't do a lot of directing anymore. But, you know, they're going to reboot his Escape from New York franchise. Apparently that's the next project, and I believe he's going to be involved with that, too. So.
Well...
Also, a reminder, Saturday night at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are bringing Hollywood Babylon back to Long Beach. We're going to be at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach on Saturday night. We'd love to have you come out and join us. You can go to laughfactory.com or csmod.com and get your tickets. But Kevin and I have been off for a couple weeks from Babylon, so we're bringing it back.
The hour is coming.
And the hour is coming, indeed. I've got a story here that may change Kevin's mind about old people.
Wow.
You know how Kevin hates old people.
Sure. They're all in the way and driving slow and whatnot.
And apparently people with Tourette's, too. I didn't know that.
I love people with Tourette's. Love them.
I'm glad you take glee in other people's disorders.
People,
that's a good time.
But only the ones where they shout out curse words.
Well, as long as it's fun for you.
The
because
ticks and
it's
stuff,
a living
so
hell
fun.
For them. But that's all that matters.
Right.
That you enjoy yourself.
We're on the same page.
Yeah. This elderly couple 71-year-old woman, 81-year-old husband. Do you hate them already, Kevin?
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
They're living there in the house, and there's a high-pitched whistling sound coming from their new neighbor's property. They can't tell what it is, but it's an annoying whistling sound. You ever get like a ringing in your ears? Is there any worse sound than a shrill whistle? So they keep complaining, asking them, please, whatever it is, please turn that sound up. They can't sleep. They have to take sleeping pills, the woman said, in order to deal with the whistling noise. Finally, the husband explained, we had to give them a taste of their own medicine. So they decide to crank up some music out through their speakers on their balcony and blast it towards the neighbors.
Right.
The song they picked? Iron Maiden's Afraid to Shoot Strangers.
Love it. Love it.
4 a.m. in the morning, they start blasting Iron Maiden over the balcony.
Love it so much.
How awesome is that?
That's awesome.
How does an 81-year-old even know about Iron Maiden's Afraid to Shoot Strangers?
I don't know. Unless they ask their grandkids what to play or something. But
what's the worst song I could play at 4 a.m.?
Jeez, I guess Maiden's Afraid to Shoot Strangers would be good, Grandpa. Now the police have been called
That's awesome.
And they've been charged with harassment.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Poor old people. I think they should get some sort of award for playing that song.
Old people one, neighbor zero.
That's right.
I want to know where they got a copy of that, by the way. They didn't have an Iron Maiden album lying around.
Of course they had it.
Do you think they're on Spotify?
Sure.
No, they
had the original album.
Deep stacks of vinyl there in Sweden, I'm sure. Michael Douglas's wife, actress Catherine Zeta-Jones, has announced she is checking into a treatment center to help with her bipolar disorder. I'd like to give her a bipole. You know what I'm saying?
Sort of.
Like to give her two poles.
But you don't...
I'd like to be bipolar with her and give her two poles.
You don't have... You only have one.
Well, I'd get a second pole. I'd get an extra pole to give her bipolar.
Just put that in the file.
Say what?
She is, according to a representative, proactively checking into a healthcare facility committed to periodic care in order to manage her health in an optimum manner, they said. 30 days in a center, she will... get some treatment for her bipolar disorder. I'm assuming that just means fine-tuning her meds or something, right? What else do you do for bipolar disorder?
Yeah. There's therapy for it. Is there therapy for it? But there's heavy meds that, you know, you can go one way or the other.
Yeah, well...
good for her.
Yeah, it's good for her that she's being proactive about it, and I'm sure Michael's happy that she's getting some help. Whew, can imagine things are tough at home at dinner. Can I have some of that salad? No, you can't! Oh, why don't you love me? Isn't this tasty? What? No wonder he's sleeping with Matt Damon.
Oh, let's go to sleep, honey. Isn't
that a great song?
Spider-Man is wanted by the law.
Oh,
J. Jonah Jameson was right. He's a public menace, that Spider-Man.
They'll never catch him.
No, look, he swings on a web. He spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies.
Here comes Spider-Man.
That's right. He was on Hollywood Boulevard when Spider-Man saw a 90-year-old employee of the Star Line Tours come out of their office. And that gentleman had a paper bag filled with $6,000 in cash that they took in from the tours that day.
Wow.
Spider-Man runs up, snatches the paper bag of money out of the old man's hands, and just takes off.
Why did they give $6,000 to an old man?
I have no idea. How about, hey, Starline Tours, how about investing in an armed guard to carry your cash to the bank?
Or just a big dude, even.
How about somebody who's not 90? Anybody on your staff not 90?
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
So then the cops engaged in some racial profiling and started rounding up all the Spider-Men who hang outside Grauman's Chinese Theater there.
How many are there?
There was like three or four of them, and none of them were the criminals, by the way. But they all had them in cuffs, and they were unmasking them in public, which I say, no, that's not fair.
No.
You can't unmask a superhero in public. What about a secret identity?
You'll ruin the kids' lives.
They did a sweep. They did a sweep and rounded up all the Spider-Men. And it turns out none of them were the actual offenders, so they're still looking for the Spider-Man culprit. So if you see a guy swinging from skyscraper to skyscraper throughout Los Angeles carrying $6,000 in cash, could you please alert the police? Because They've got an issue.
We'll keep our eyes open for that.
Yeah. That's a pretty smart cover, though, for the crook, isn't it, to go down there dressed as Spider-Man?
They think he went to the Hollywood Toy and Costume Shop, bought a Spider-Man costume, just went right down there.
It was just
smart. A one-off.
Wow, yeah, that is so smart.
You blend right in with the loonies down there and sure. Brendan Grommans. It was kind of smart. But you got to think it's an inside job, right? Because how does a guy know that there's going to be six grand in cash just walking out of that office at that time of day?
Yeah.
There must have been some inside information there. I don't think there's a random Spider-Man just waiting around saying, geez, I hope somebody carries a large amount of cash sometime today.
That bag looks like it's got something in it.
Or else this is a poor investment, this costume, really. Today's celebrity birthday. Speaking of old people, Cloris Leachman. Do you love her being the way you love Betty White? She's an old actress.
I don't love her in the same way, but she's extremely talented.
Yeah, she's 87 years old today. Singer Willie Nelson is 80 years old today.
Him I love. Him I love as much as you can love a man.
All righty, then.
He's the best.
Chris Henderson of Three Doors Down is 42. Akon turns 40. Johnny Galecki from Big Bang Theory is 38. Could that series be any bigger? Could it be any more of a monster?
I don't think so.
The reruns of that show are now beating regular television shows, like American Idol, head-to-head. Kirsten Dunst is 31, speaking of Spider-Man. And Diana Agron of Glee. She plays Quinn, the cheerleader on that show. Is she still a cheerleader, or is she now some sort of businesswoman?
I lost sight of that show in the late 90s.
I don't know what those kids are up to. I lost them before graduation. So she's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
The beautiful Kat Von D on the program today. Also, Amy Schumer, very funny comedian. And speaking of comedians, how about Rob Delaney? He'll be here next hour at the Kevin Beach Show.
Oh, she is good.
She is something else, that Rob. She's pretty, too. Hey, I love the Beach Boys. I know you don't care one way or another for them, Kevin, but the Beach Boys are maybe my favorite band of all time.
But you haven't heard every single one of their songs enough for a lifetime already?
Could I say that about any band that you love? Rage Against the Machine, is there a song of theirs you haven't heard?
No, but they didn't make songs in the 1960s.
Well, I love them so much, and I'm delighted to hear that Brian Wilson, the chief songwriter and singer for the Beach Boys, who's now in his 70s, by the way, I'm glad to see he's finally writing his autobiography. He had one out previously, but it turned out he didn't write it, had very little to do with it. So this is going to be the first time, in his own words, you hear the story about the band that came up in Southern California in the early 1960s and for 50 years has been touring the world and making people happy with their songs.
Is he the one that's a little
well, he did he maybe had off. too many drugs in the 60s, and when we ran into him back in the early 90s, Kevin, you'll remember he was involved in a hideous phase where it was hard to understand what he was talking about. He didn't make any sense. He was kind of scaring us a little bit.
Remember, he was a lot. I didn't know him.
He was trying to rap at that time. Remember back in the early 90s, he was trying to rap. Do we have a piece of that? Because that was something else.
How do you okay that? That's fantastic.
So that's not exactly an improvement on songs like Barbara Ann and California Girls and Surfing USA and all those songs. But we wanted to find out more about this autobiography now that he's sitting down to finally write the story. So we asked producer Dave, hey, can you line us up the great Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys? And I believe we have him on the phone right now. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kevin DeVille. How are you guys doing?
We're very good. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for calling me up and for talking about all the things I'm working on these days.
Sure. Certainly. Here you are in your 70s. It seems like you're as busy as ever. You just came off that 50th anniversary tour, and now you're writing your book.
Yeah, it's so great to be, finally telling my side of the story. Get it out there for people.
I'm sorry. How much of your side of the story do you remember?
I remember most of it.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, it's been a long, crazy trip.
Right. It has. Yeah.
This morning.
I mean, your brother Dennis is dead. Your brother Carl is dead. Yeah. And you had a lot of bad news in your life throughout the years. And of course, you've been very, very sick, but it sounds like you got a positive attitude.
I do have a positive attitude. And a new book, I Am Brian Wilson.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
But we know that.
I am Brian Wilson.
Right, we got it.
No, I just remembered.
Okay.
Hey, Linda, I'm Brian Wilson. That's who I am. I remember this morning looking in the mirror and said, that guy looks familiar. Who's that guy?
It's Brian Wilson.
I'm from the Beach Boys.
All right.
Right. Now, do you still write music as well?
Every day.
Oh, really? Because that seems like that's dropped off a little bit in recent years.
No,
Brian.
Every day I'm writing new music. I'm going to, you know, it's so great to be on the road with the Beach Boys recently, until they fired me, of course.
Right, sure.
Right, and, that's what they did, right?
No, they fired me. And so, you know, people are so responsive to the music that I'm working on new music now.
Well, you were one of the chief songwriters, if I'm not mistaken. Okay.
Yeah, and, all right. You know, so every morning I sit here at the keyboard and I work on some music.
Okay.
Barbara, you are in my car, and we drive fun, and California.
That doesn't...
Surfing in the sun with a girl who's in my car.
Hey, Brian.
Go to the beach. Oh, look out, shark. And I got sand in my butt.
Hey, Brian, that's not finished, is it?
Yeah, that's we're just going to lay that down today. We got the band coming in here.
Sounds like you just took words from a bunch of your other songs and just mixed them up is all that happened there.
Surfer girl, you are my surfer girl. Why don't you wipe my chin because I had tapioca pudding this morning.
Okay, this is sad.
I would like you to come with me to the place where I go to get my shock treatment.
Right.
And then we will have fun.
Okay.
Fun surfing sun and water and sand.
Right.
And cars that go fast. And
Brian?
They all know our names and they leave us alone.
Hey, Brian Wilson, maybe you should just let the old songs, the 60s songs, kind of speak for themselves. Maybe need it.
Because I have a lot of music still left inside me.
Right.
And so I'm looking forward to putting that music out there.
I don't think that's necessary. But look, good luck with the book and whatnot. And are there any particular stories that you're looking forward to telling that we haven't heard before?
My dad used to beat the crap out of me.
Okay, yeah, right.
I am Brian Wilson. My brothers are dead. They're the lucky ones.
Oh, just sad now. Brian.
I think that's going to be the hit. K Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The Black Keys, of course, headlining the K Rock Weenie Roast 2013. You're excited about that. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. You do have to be a member of the K Rock Street Team, which takes about a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to get a key password that they're going to ask for when you buy the tickets Friday at noon. So make sure and do that.
By the way, this 2 weeks from Saturday, this May 18th at the Verizon, the Black Keys could sell the thing out on their own in an hour. You know what I mean? That's
agreed.
What's unbelievable. Yet they're one of 15 acts that's going to be playing that day. So it really is the best value going. You want to buy those tickets on Friday. Speaking of the Weenie Roast, our friend Matt Money Smith used to work here on the Kevin and Bean Show and then went on to become the music director of K-Rock. You coming to the Weenie Roast? Will we see you, Matt?
I wish I could. It's my wife's birthday, so we are going to be out of...
You have to have priorities.
Yeah, you know my wife. You know what that is. I got no priority.
Exactly.
You know, me being a music director, I'm sure this has been said before, but just because I was on hold and concentrating,
right.
I had a solitary focus on that guitar solo.
Right.
That's Stairway to Heaven. That guitar solo is Stairway to Heaven's guitar
solo.
I'm going to
keep that in mind next time I hear it. That's very interesting.
I'm going to start singing it at the top of my lungs at the Weenie Roast.
And never wind on down the road.
Money, of course, is the co-host of the wildly successful Petras and Money Show on Fox Sports Radio, weekday afternoons on AM 570. And the reason we wanted to have you on today is no surprise, is the sports story that everyone in the world is talking about, and that is, who do the Lakers play next? Because I can't find them on my schedule, Matt. What's going on?
Yeah, it turns out you only get seven chances to win four games, and the Lakers opted for the minimum, but they were on the wrong side of the minimum.
That's ridiculous. They should give them more chances. We would have lost as many as they gave us.
You mean David Stern is the guy that's like, no, I didn't say best out of seven. I said best out of nine.
Right, we still would have lost.
Yeah. Let's talk about local boy Jason College, born in Northridge, grew up in Southern California, played at Harvard Westlake, then went up to Stanford, and then has, for the last 12 years, been in the NBA, but all of a sudden he's the most famous basketball player in the world. Tell us about the reaction yesterday to Jason Collins coming out on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a gay man.
Yeah, it's funny. And it's a national story, and he's on Good Morning America today, and the president has given him his well wishes and congratulated him for his bravery. I think that the place, and of all places, where it has had the most minimal impact is in the world of sports. And it's just been that kind of year, you know. It feels that the timing for this was perfect. He's going to obviously look. There's going to be some lunkheads that tweet some something stupid, and fans and stands that are bigots that'll let him hear it. But for the most part, he's going to get a tremendous amount of support. Already has, and you have, you know, a guy that's been on six teams, has had myriad teammates, and all of them say the same thing: one of the best teammates I've ever had.
Yeah.
Love the guy. You know, great dude. He's perfect for this. And, you know, everyone in the sports world's really very, very supportive.
Well, it reminded me so much because I saw 42 recently. And, you know, there are certainly some parallels between black rights and gay rights in this country. But, I mean, they picked Jackie Robinson because he had the right temperament and was the right kind of stand-up guy to represent the cause. And you almost get that same kind of feeling here. Like you said, 12 years of teammates that he's taken showers with and nobody is accusing him of being a pervert.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because those things can be awkward. I don't know, you know, we've seen enough of these outings. You know, Jodie Foster comes to mind. It's just awkward.
Yeah.
And that first-person essay, it's brilliant. You know, I mean, it really is. And look, he's a smart kid. He went to Harvard, Westlake. He graduated from Stanford. He's a very smart, articulate guy. So it shouldn't be a surprise. But it read so honest and lighthearted, and there was self-deprecation, you know, the whole thing about Shaq, and hey, by the way, Shaq, I wasn't flopping because I'm gay, I was flopping because it was the best way for me to defend you,
right?
Like that, you know. it read, and by the time you got to the end of it, you said, you know what, good for that guy, I hope it works out.
When you say it read, it's the article in Sports Illustrated, right?
Yeah, it's a first-person essay in Sports Illustrated. He wrote it. It's about three pages. I would highly recommend everybody go to SI.com.
It's sort of difficult for a guy to come out in two different worlds where being gay is not quite as accepted as in the regular world. One is sports, and the other is the black community.
Yeah, and that was a major theme, you know, of that essay. And you know, the thing for sports is this is it. This is the last thing. You know, it's happened in politics. It's happened in Hollywood. It happens in major corporations. I mean, we had Rick Welch come out. Rick Welch, the general manager of the Golden State Warriors. You know, he's the executive of the team. He's, you know, an out gay man. But this is the first athlete in a professional sport. Male athlete, I should say. Obviously, there's a number of female athletes in the WNBA.
I heard that one of the WNBA girls is coming out as straight, which is going to be a shocker.
Exactly. So this is it. I mean, this is kind of the last thing that, you know, that community needed to say, hey, we're everywhere. It's just a part of society.
Do you think that it's roughly, I don't think it's roughly the same percentages. For example, if the gay community is 10% of the normal population, I don't think it's 10% in the sports world. Do you?
Do you think
a bunch of people will,
I do too.
Will now
I do too.
Make their announcement now because he did?
I hope so. You know, I do. I really would hate for Jason Collins to go through an entire NBA season on an island. You know, I would hope that, you know, look, I know for a fact there are. I mean, I absolutely know that. I don't know that there's 10%, but I do know for a fact that there's more that aren't out.
Who?
But are playing, exactly.
Who?
So I would hope that,
who?
That they do. I would hope that they do, you know.
Yeah.
And I think they will.
And by the way, we're going to look back on this in, I don't know, a 5 years certainly, but maybe a year. We're going to look back on this and go, who cares? It was no big deal. Now it's just normal. It's a type of thing that is just a one tiny tick on somebody's biography that makes no difference whatsoever in how they are as a person or how they are as an athlete.
Yeah, you know, and I think that sort of happened, you know, when you go through the draft. You know, I just finished doing the NFL draft for NFL.com.
Right.
And you look for all these storylines because it can be such a mundane process, but people watch it for hours. And, you know, 2 years ago, Kenneth Faried, one of the best players to come out in the NBA draft, he was raised by two moms, you know, and they ended up not making it a huge storyline. It was kind of like a byline, and here's this opportunity for a really nice kid, a great story out of a small school, led the nation in rebounding, and it just kind of became oh, by the way, you know, he was raised by two moms, and he's real proud of that, and he talked about it for 2 minutes, and then they moved on.
And, well, I'm delighted to see this finally happen. I mean, we knew it was gonna, you know, it was gonna be here at some point, and the sooner we get past this and it just becomes as big a deal as it is, which is not to say at all, then the better off we're all going to be. And by the way, big props to Kobe Bryant for being the first guy that I saw on Twitter who immediately tweeted out, I got your back. I'm proud of you. Good luck, my friend. You know, that was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, Kobe's still in damage control from 2 years sure. ago when he, but you know what? For him, good. Because that, and look, that led to a lot of this, you know, and that whole episode where he dropped that F-bomb on the bench and it could be heard and he was outed as a bigot. He could have reacted one of two ways. He's a superstar that could have said, look, no, it's just vernacular that we use. There's nothing to it. But instead, he went the route of.
And he doesn't cool. always go the right way. He sometimes does go the wrong way.
No, I would say rarely.
All right. Last question for you, Money, because I know we got to go and you do too. And that is he going to play next year? As much as we're talking about Jason Collins right now, he is a free agent. Is someone going to pick him up?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it'd be a pretty bad deal if they didn't. Look, he's a big guy. There's not a lot of seven-footers in the league. There's not a lot of seven-footers that can move. And as he said in that article, I've got six fouls, and I can set a mean screen. So if you need
you go.
A seven-footer with six fouls, he's your guy.
So step one is getting off the Wizards, and then step two
look
is
for, look for Matt Money Smith on the NFL Network and NFL.com, and, of course, the weekday afternoon show on Fox Sports Radio with our good friend Petros Papadakis, the PNM show. Thanks for coming on, dude. We enjoyed talking to you.
Anytime, guys.
It's the return of the average homeboy. Our friend Denny Blaze from Cleveland, Ohio, the world's greatest white rapper, joins us in about...
homeboy.
Now, when you say world's greatest rapper...
I mean,
the world's greatest.
You think he's better than Eminem?
Crushes Eminem.
Wow. Easily. Wow. There wouldn't be an Eminem if Danny Blaze hadn't blazed before him.
Who was there first?
Eminem.
No.
Danny Blaze?
You're incorrect, sir. Danny Blaze.
All right, I take it back.
All right.
All right.
Anyway, he's got, now that we've taken care of Zach Braff's Kickstarter, let's get working on Denny Blaze's Kickstarter to get a movie made about the average homeboy. We'll talk to him coming up right after the top of the hour. Then Rob Delaney joins us as well. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
We're talking about the fact they're making a movie biopic about Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, who you guys just talked to.
Right.
If he can have a movie, Denny Blaze could certainly have a movie. Because I think pound for pound right now, Denny Blaze is in better shape musically than Brian Wilson.
Brian's done a little more with his life.
Well, or a little worse, actually. All right, let's talk about show business news. Steve Hirsch of Vivid Entertainment is finally speaking out about his purchase of teen mom Farrah Abraham's sex tape. Nearly $1 million he paid for this tape, by the way. You know, you're just encouraging this kind of behavior, Steve.
Of course. What does he care?
He gushed... on their website, Farrah's looks remind me of a young Kim Kardashian. Stop it.
Take it easy.
Stop it. And we all know how her story turned out. Yes, she became hated by millions. Farrah's lawyer was in court yesterday, by the way, entering a not guilty plea to charges from her DUI arrest last month in Nebraska. If you watch Dr. Phil at all, you know she did claim she wasn't really drinking and driving because she was parked when the cops pulled her over.
But you had to drive there to
but
get
she
parked.
Was parked.
Right.
She's charged with not only aggravated DUI, I think just because she's so aggravating.
Yeah.
But refusal to take a field sobriety test and disorderly conduct. She started pushing and shoving with the cops, too, as they pulled her out.
Farrah Abramson. It's two of them.
Remix.
Nice.
I like it. They should have shot her.
You think so?
Yeah.
It seems rough.
They should have approached the car with guns drawn. And then the minute she started getting uppity, just ba 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 ba.
Okay. That's one way of doing it.
Jamie Foxx?
I guess I've had a lot of flaws this year just trying to work out being 21.
Yeah,
my flaw is being in the public eye.
That's
because
your flaw.
It's caused me a lot of issues.
That's her only flaw is the fact that she's in the public eye. If she wasn't in the public eye, she'd be perfect.
Nothing she's sure. done.
No, it's the public. It's us. What have we done to this poor girl?
Right.
I'm glad she filmed her sex tape for privacy, by the way.
That is nice.
Sold it for $1 million for privacy.
Sure.
Jamie Foxx is in talks with Will Smith and Jay-Z, who are producing that remake of the musical Annie. It's going to be an African-American version of the musical Annie. Tentative title right now is Tanny. Hollywood Reporter.
See, because...
Hollywood Reporter says Jamie would play the Daddy Warbucks character in the film, who has been renamed for this version of the musical, to Benjamin Stax.
Benjamin Stacks.
See, Daddy Warbucks.
Benjamin right. Stacks.
But now the black Daddy Warbucks is Benjamin Stacks.
Okay.
Because he's got mad stacks of Benjamins,
Benjamin.
Yo.
Sure. Right. Right.
Right.
Right.
I have no idea what this means, this message.
Beer Mark keeps forcing me to read this message, and I have no idea what that message is. I have no idea. I don't know who Adam Bartha is. I don't know what's going on.
Omar sent it in. I don't know. It says Showbiz on it. So I just thought you would need it. Sorry. Continue on. Didn't want to throw a roadblock with your hair.
No, no. That's good.
Oh, is that the man with the world's biggest penis? Is that who we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. This is great, great musical news. The man with the world's largest penis has finally released his song.
Fantastic.
We've all been waiting for
that.
Are you familiar with this dude?
No.
Adam Bartha is... he is the guy who's been on many documentaries and stuff for having, as far as we know, and I would question this.
Okay.
Because I've seen some adult films in which gentlemen appeared longer than the 13.5 inches that Adam claims to be rocking.
Most less, though.
But most, no, absolutely most less. I look in the morning when I go to the shower, I see something almost that large. But
your arm?
But he has been on many of these documentaries talking about how hard it is for him to get a woman and everything because he's just so massive and it's just too big and blah, blah, blah. By the way, this guy's got zero personality. I can't imagine. The reason he doesn't get laid is because he's a zilch, not because he's got too massive a penis. But finally, he has released a song.
Oh, great.
About his massive penis that dropped on iTunes recently. And people are talking about it, claiming not only is he a zero in the personality department, but apparently musically as well.
Great.
So I asked Omar to pull a little clip of the world's... Man with the World's Largest Penis song. Thought you might want to hear it.
I heard it from all the guys and every single freaking girl. They want to try and take a ride on the biggest in the world. But in order to ride the beast, it must be unfurled. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And it keeps growing, growing. Too damn big, it's just too damn big. Your penis too damn big, it's just too damn big. Too damn big, my penis too damn big. Your penis too damn big, it's too damn big.
A lot of work on the chorus there.
Oh, they're going to be dancing to that at the Abbey tonight.
It's too damn big. Rage.
What's the point of that song, Ralph?
It's too damn big.
People have been waiting for it, Bean.
Yes.
But what's the point of putting that out as a song?
Okay, well, correction. Adam Bartha is the musician singing that song. In the chorus, we have Jonah Falcon, the man with the world's largest penis. He's the one singing that his penis is too damn big.
And
now we've got all the players.
So the good singer is a different guy.
I didn't think I recognized that name. Adam Bartha, because that's not the penis guy. Jonah Falcon is the guy with this name.
Sounds like a superhero name, doesn't it? Jonah Falcon?
The Falcon twist when he opens his pants.
Right. By the way, I know we have
too
no time
big.
Here.
We have no time, and it's too
we have
damn
no
big.
Time here, so, but I have to ask you guys, if you could have a 13.5-inch penis, would you? I
no.
say no.
No, I wouldn't.
No,
not.
No.
I'd stick with 12.
Do I have to have it forever?
Yeah.
You want to try it just for a day?
Can I have it for like a week?
No, it's your new life. You either new have life. What you have now or you have 13.5 inches for the rest of your life.
Jeez, that's pretty tempting.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think there's... Nothing sounds good about that to me.
Well, it's because you've never...
You don't use it.
You've never...
No, because...
What would you do with it? It would just take you longer to urinate. That's the only difference it would take in your life.
Oh
no,
my
because
God, is it really that big?
Yeah. Because you can't use much of it, is
the
what
hell
I'm saying.
Hell, I can't.
You can't. There's no way. How?
You've never harbored a secret desire to be a legend in pornography. If I had that, I would absolutely... Yeah. I would be not only the biggest name in porn.
Sure.
But I would also be the best actor in porn. You know what it's like? For me, who harbors a secret desire also to be an actor, to be
That's
in porn,
right.
I would automatically become the greatest actor ever in the history of pornography.
Which is not a tough category.
But I would be that.
All right.
I would have the biggest penis and the best actor. But I would be the king of porn.
Aren't you afraid it would be too damn big?
No, it's not too damn big. Despite what
he says.
Jonah Falcon's song, they say. All
right. And you record a better song, too.
I would. I'm a better singer.
Yeah, you'd have everything going for you.
I'm no Rob Delaney, don't get me wrong.
No,
either in the penis or the singing department. But I was just talking to him in the other room about his voice. He's a real deal.
Yeah, what's up with that?
He sings. I don't know. You guys will have to find out when we have him on sometime soon.
Yeah, we should have him in
on the show today.
Yeah, we should.
But thank God we're making Rob Delaney wait for Denny Blaze.
Hey.
You got to have priorities.
Don't come down on Blaze and Hazen.
All right,
today's celebrity birthdays. Cloris Leachman's 87 years old today. See, Cloris Leachman would appreciate my giant penis. If we got
no.
together. Yeah,
I'm guessing not.
Willie Nelson is 80. Akon is 40 years old. Johnny Galecki, The Big Bang Theory, turns 38. Kirsten Dunst is 31. And Diana Agron of Glee, she is 27 years old. She wouldn't think it's too damn big.
Probably would. She's a little girl.
Be pole dancing. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, there was Veronica Mars.
Yes.
Then there was Zach Braff.
Yeah.
Was
here.
And now, there's the Average Homeboy.
Hey, it's Denny Blazin' Hazen, also known as the Average Homeboy. You might have seen me on Comedy Central or VH1 with my viral video. Now I want to make a short film, movie pilot, about my story. How I went from a small town in Ohio to internet fame. Yes, I'm a white man who has smoothed out my rapping. So I'm asking all of my friends around the world, average homeboys and homegirls, to come together and help me make this movie project.
Nope.
Come on.
How can you say
no?
What's wrong with you, Kevin?
By the way, what I mean is, yep.
I made my donation already this morning. Where the hell are the Kevin and Bean listeners to make sure that this movie gets made? The great Denny Blaze joins us on the phone from Cleveland, Ohio right now. Hi, Denny.
Good morning, Kevin, Bean, and Ralph. How you guys doing?
We are good.
We're blazing, Denny.
Welcome back. I can't believe that we didn't know about this until it's almost over. You only have one day left to reach your goal, Denny. What's going on?
Well, I want to make a small film about being an average homeboy, and I really didn't want to bug you guys. I know you guys are important out there in Hollywood. And,
sure.
Yes, we are. We're very, very important, Denny. That's true.
I've been lucky to have friends around the world, though. Right now we have 33 backers from all over the world who have chipped in, but most of them are average homeboys, giving $10 here, $20 there. So
how much are you trying
on the show to talk about it?
How much are you trying to raise?
$5,000.
$5,000. All right.
And that's just to make a short film that's sort of a pilot for what the real longer film would be.
Exactly. How I went from, I grew up in a town called Louisville, Ohio. I'm sure you haven't heard of it. And, you know, I made my demo video before there was even an internet existed. So, you know, to have that story to go, be able to go to New York and be on VH1 and go to Los Angeles and be on Tosh.0. You know, a guy in my town just doesn't go to big TV networks like that. So it's a really cool story. I'd like to share it with share another thing with the world with making a movie.
Well, we're right there with you. And I'm frankly disappointed that after decades of the entertainment that you provided, you only have 33 backers so far on your Kickstarter project. We need to pump that up. We just tweeted out the link from @KevinandBean, those who follow us on Twitter. Please go and check out what Danny's got going on and make a little bit of a contribution as low as I think you can donate as low as $1, can't you?
$1 would be great. That's what I understand. You know, the economy is bad. People, you know, I appreciate people sharing it on their Facebook page or tweeting it. If you can't support financially, but yeah, if you could do $1, I have more than 4,000 Facebook friends that could just say, hey, here's $1 and the goal will be met. So it's nice if you could do $1. If somebody's above average can do a little bit more, that would help too. There's all kinds of rewards. I made up a reward page where I'm offering up some of my original props and wardrobes from the viral videos.
All right.
If you like the crazy sweaters that I wear or the hypercolor t-shirts or any of that stuff. There's all kinds of items on my website, dennyblaze.com.
Is the original bowl of Fruit Loops available? That's what I would like.
No, I think I ate those already.
Oh, come on.
That's the best prop right there, because after you shoot your hoops, you eat your Fruit Loops.
And how easy is that to fake? Just get a bowl with some Fruit Loops in it. He'll buy it.
This is original stuff. If you check out my website, you'll see that the old surf-style windbreaker I have where I do the pelvic thrust, that's available on there. All that stuff's original. I saved it for over 20 years, and now I'm trying to use it to kickstart this movie project.
Denny, is this going to be a documentary about your story, or is it going to be a fictional film where you'll cast a young actor to play the young Denny Blaze?
Well, that's why I'm trying to raise up some funds so I can cast people. You know, it spans over more than 20 years, so I'd like to cast a young Denny Blaze in it to play the part of me in the earlier ages.
Sure.
But it's more of an inspirational comedy, how... Like I said, if you have a dream, you know, I wanted a recording contract more than 2 decades ago. There wasn't an internet. I made a tape and sent it to Warner Brothers Records and MTV. It sat in a box for all those years. And one day the internet came along. Somebody found my tape and put it on. But if I didn't have the dream, then I wouldn't be talking to you on K-Rock.
So you have the recording contract now?
No, I don't have a recording contract, but my music is available on iTunes and around the world. But having having had the dream of this, I've been able to perform in New York, Boston, L.A., at the Whiskey Go-Go, you know, and being from the small town that I have been from, that never would have happened if I wasn't dreaming.
You are the Rupert Pupkin of music, sir.
Exactly.
Hey, so basically, it's an inspirational comedy where I want to inspire people to have their dream, but it's so silly, I want it to be comical. You know, if you just listen to a white guy who wants to smooth out his rapping,
right.
You know, that's comical in itself. So it's a comical, inspirational film that I like to make.
Okay.
Well, I'm all in, as you know, Danny. And for our listeners who haven't been inspired enough by hearing your words today, let's play a little bit of The Average Homeboy. And you said this was what, from over 20 years ago you recorded this, right?
That's correct.
Can't tell. The production is top-notch.
I'm not the typical rapper that you'll meet. I don't live in a box, nor was I raised on the street. I get up every morning and make my own bed. I'm down to earth. I don't have a big head. For enjoyment, I like to shoot some hoops, but not until I eat all my Fruit Loops. Shining my car brings me lots of joy. I guess I'm just an average homeboy.
Average homeboy.
Sing that part.
That would be that guy in the movie.
Can Ralph sing that part? The average homeboy.
Oh yeah, you got the role, Ralph.
All right,
there you go.
Picture the scene of me in the booth in the studio going, "Average homeboy."
By the way, I don't like Kevin's mocking attitude here.
I don't either.
Are you detecting that he's a dream killer here? I'm all in. I couldn't support Danny Blaze any more than I do how much I want his success. Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like you're poo-pooing his plan here.
Just have a little fun, Bean.
There'll be no poo-pooing, Kevin.
No, there'll be no poo-pooing. Mm-hmm. All right, well, listen. Here's what I want to ask. Danny Blaze has given us years of entertainment. We love him here at K-Rock. We love him on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're putting the link up on the Facebook page, the Kevin and Bean Twitter. Go and give the man a dollar. He only has a day left. This Kickstarter campaign ends at like 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Oh, boy.
And he's still like, $3,600 short. So we need to help him get closer to his $5,000 goal so we can get this movie made.
We don't want
to
reach it. We just want to get closer.
No, we want to reach it.
We still have $3,600 left to go?
Yeah.
Come
he's
on,
at 14,
people.
He's at 1471
Give
right
hurts.
Now. Give till it
yeah,
hurts.
Yeah, we got to make this happen, for God's sakes. Denny has given you so much. What have you given Denny? Nothing. Give him
$1.
That's
what I'm saying. Give the man a dollar.
Awesome. I appreciate your support. What's awesome about your show is your airwaves of K-Rock go right through Hollywood. So there's directors and producers and all kinds of people that they have $3,600. They can just pop it down like that.
That's right.
But, you know, I'm not asking for it all for a pop. And the average homeboy that can appreciate having a dream, if they give a buck, we'd meet the goal.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Danny Blaze here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Keep in touch, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. Hey, guess what? You just got Blaze.
Yeah!
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
There it is. There it is.
Why did that happen? What's going on? Hey, Rob Delaney.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Rob's one of our favorite comedians. He was on April Foolishness this past year.
Man, that was so fun.
Wasn't that a great night?
It was the best. I went
we
up
told
after
you.
Sam the Armenian got booed off stage.
Right?
Yeah.
And,
you can't
really
go wrong then.
Yeah, and that was a
well.
First time.
You certainly seem funny when you come on after the Armenian comedian. I'll tell you that.
Huge boost. Huge.
We were so happy to have you on the bill, and it's the first time we've talked to you since then. But like we told you ahead of time, that is a crowd that is there to love you. You don't have to win them over. They're excited to be there. They're happy, and they. I mean, you went over huge, man.
Until you started talking about armpit hair.
No, they liked that.
Did they?
You know what they went nuts about is when I said that Mexican parents pierce their baby girl's ears in utero. They thought that was the best thing they ever heard.
Well, Rob Delaney is here. We've got a lot of stuff we want to talk to about. Let me start by saying you've been in the other room for about the last half hour, so you've been hearing the show. So I just want to get your take on this. Average homeboy, awesome, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. B, 13.5 penis. Yes, or 13.5 inch penis. Yes or no, if you could.
Good God, no. No.
That's what I say.
Yeah, no, thanks. Because what are you going to put it in? I mean, you have to make
Khloe Kardashian is your only option.
you just have to hollow out a hole in the ground and fill it with yogurt. I mean, there's nothing normal you could do with it.
Seems like more trouble than it's worth, and you'd really have trouble wearing shorts too,
yeah,
right?
You would.
It seems like you'd
of
always
course.
Be worried about it slipping out or something. I would think.
Okay. As a PSA, I want to say the hole in the ground with yogurt—you don't have to have a giant penis to do that, but you just I'm saying that's the only option. Don't feel you can't do that if you have a normal penis.
How is that?
I wouldn't. It's probably terrific, maybe.
Probably. <okay.
laughs> All right, so we're all a no on the Jonah Falcon penis. All right, here's the reason we called Rob this week, and we said we have to talk to you, because this happened on Friday out at Dodger Stadium.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we ask that you please rise, remove your caps, and join in the singing of our national anthem, performed tonight by a comedian from Boston who was the first comedian to win Funniest Person on Twitter Award at the Comedy Central Awards in May of 2012, accompanied by Nancy B. Please welcome Rob Delaney.
Now, before we hear that, I have to say how awesome it is that they record those announcements at Dodger Stadium and it's dead quiet. You don't hear any of the crowd. So it sounds like you're in a sound studio singing this song. But yes, you're actually at Dodger Stadium in front of thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, it's kind of a – I mean, it's not the most interesting story in the world, but I studied musical theater in college, and then I had a friend who worked at the Red Sox, and so she asked me – there's 162 games a year per team, and they can't get Josh Groban for each one. So sometimes they have to get just some schmuck, and that's me sometimes. So
you've done it for the Red Sox.
I've done it a few times at Fenway and a few times at Dodger Stadium, but I haven't done it in like 6 years or so, so it had been quite a while since I'd done it.
We were so surprised when we saw the video because you're a comedian who finds it difficult to not be funny. I mean, that is your natural inclination, is to try to make every situation funny. And I was horrified watching you sing because I thought somehow he's gonna grab his crotch like Rosé. Yeah. He's gonna do something to try to yuck it up here, and that's not the time or place to do it. How do you stay so straight? That's not you.
Well, I'll say this: I think normal people know this, not incredible singers. But the national anthem is like one of the hardest songs to sing ever.
Right.
So if I tried to do that and be funny, I mean, it would just be a car accident.
But your instinct is to make everything funny.
Often it is. But with that song, if I would have screwed it up, and then, I mean, you might be, that might even be treason. Maybe you'd get executed.
You could
a
get
black
shot.
Helicopter
There's a sniper
would come
on
in.
You right then.
Yeah. So I didn't think it was the right time for it. Plus, I love baseball, you know, so I don't want to mess it up.
So you're concentrating very hard in the clip that we're about to hear of you singing. All right, here you are with the great Nancy B on the organ.
Okay. Nancy B rules, by the way. She does. Listen to that.
It's the best kind of music in the world right there.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light.
How far did you go with singing? You sang in college, you said?
Yeah, I went to NYU, to New York University's musical theater studio. So I did a few years there. And then after that, I did the national tour of Camelot, in which I played Sir Lancelot. That was my first job out of college, was traveling around the country.
I don't know any of this. All I know is this is a funny guy that we had on April Fool's. That's all I know.
Well, I'll
and
be
I
honest.
Also know...
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Which he put up on Twitter... And that was shocking that you had that voice.
Well, here, you know, it's funny because there's actually sort of a transition thing. Our bus broke down, our tour bus in Virginia, when we were on our way to perform at the University of West Virginia. And we got there late, and there was an audience of 2,500 people, and we had to do a sound check. So I went out there, and rather than do some lines of dialogue from the play, I just told about my day, and people laughed. And when people laughed at me for saying things that I thought up, I was like, musical theater can go blow itself.
Really?
I want to tell jokes.
So when you're on Camelot touring the land, comedy wasn't a thing that you were even considering at that
point.
I
loved it. I wanted to do it. I was afraid to. I didn't think it was possible. I thought it was perfectly normal to travel the country doing musical theater.
Sure.
But I was like, comedy, that's insane. So,
well, let's hear the last few seconds. Let's hear the big finale. I don't know where we are in the song here, but here again is Rob from Friday at Dodger Stadium.
Gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
Big finish.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave?
Are people laughing while they're watching you sing because you're Rob Delaney, or are they just accepting you as just a regular singer dude?
My strong suspicion is that no one at Dodger Stadium knew who I was. So
and it sounded like you were a good singer, and so, of course, they were...
They just went with it.
They seemed to go with it.
I imagine.
O'er the land of the free.
That's a tough note.
The home of the brave.
Here's my favorite part right here.
Rob Delaney.
Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen. Rob Delaney.
Of America. Rob Delaney.
All right. Rob is here. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more on The Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. He is comedian and national anthem singer Rob Delaney here on The Kevin DeBean Show. You can follow him on Twitter and should at Rob Delaney. And this weekend you are going to be in San Diego, Thursday through Saturday at the American Comedy Company in the Gas Lamp Quarter. Tickets are available on your website through robdelaney.com. Here's what I love about your touring schedule, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Los Angeles, then Iowa City for the weekend.
Yep.
Then San Diego, then right off to St. Paul.
Yep.
And then New York, and then Houston.
Sure, why not?
Who's trying to kill you and why?
Well, here's the thing. What I do, I have a wife and I have two children, and I don't want this to be on air, but I like them and I enjoy spending time with them. So what I do is I stay home for like 2 weeks at a time or 3 weeks at a time usually, and then I just go do a surgical strike to one city and come right back is often how I do it. So that's why my schedule looks insane, but if you actually like filled up the empty dates in between, you'd see I'm really at home most of the time.
So you'll fly to, like you did this weekend, you'll fly to Iowa, do a gig or two, and then come right home, and then spend the whole week at home, and then fly out the following weekend and go to San Diego or whatever. I see what you're saying.
Do you find your wife and kids go, do you need to travel more?
Yeah. One of my kids can speak. The other one can't because he doesn't have a tongue or teeth. And he has a tongue, but he doesn't have teeth yet. And
he's seven.
So my wife is like, please don't be here as much. The other one is getting to where he feels that way, and then the youngest one is just, he's just fat and a ball and wants to be rubbed and pet.
Rob, I remember seeing you at, it's funny because, you know, I don't think of you, I can't picture you as Rob Delaney dad. To me, you're just Rob Delaney comedian, but you were on stage and you talk a lot about your kids. Like,
I do.
It seems like the greatest thing that ever happened for your comedy was finding out what happens in a diaper.
Yeah.
That seems to be about half your act is what's going on inside a diaper. What did you used to talk about before you had kids?
Well, when I got married, I was pretty fascinated by that. So I talked about her for the 20 minutes before we have kids. And then, but now it's just kids. Yeah. And like with the diaper thing, like they're both in diapers, a 3 month old and a 2 year old. And I'll change the little one's diaper. It's like a cute little postage stamp filled with little nothing. And then the big one is just like some trucker named Terry who's like, it's like if I had to change your diaper. I get angry at him after I change the baby's diaper. I'm like, why are you doing this to me? Rick?
It is fairly shocking how much somebody who weighs 18 pounds can produce in his diaper, though, isn't
it? Fascinating, yeah.
Like, how does it happen?
What age do you break them of that?
I think they usually stop around, you know, three or so, or two or three. He already likes to go in a potty.
He does, all right. Yeah. All right. That's good for you. only dad used the word potty.
Yeah.
Bean.
I went in the potty the other day, and you can see it. We adults actually do produce more than little babies.
Is that right? Did you measure?
Yeah.
Rob seems like the kind of guy who would be proud of that and would tweet in some sort of competitive fashion, like beat that.
Yeah. No, you want to be competitive with your kids. You know, you need to let them know the world is a nightmare, and they better start fighting early.
Did you ever do any more acting after the stage work you did, the singing and the musicals?
Yeah, I act sometimes. I'm on the show Key and Peele sometimes on Comedy Central. I was just on Cougar Town. So I'll act here and there. You know, my favorite thing to do is stand up, but if you want me to act in your thing, I might swing by.
What do you think about all of these guys like Nathan and Ben Hoffman and now Amy Schumer? She's coming in later today. She's got her own show. What do you think about it seems like we're going through another golden age of comedians getting shows on TV.
Pretty exciting. I'm so glad. I mean, yeah, like Nikki Glaser and Sarah Schaefer just got their show renewed on MTV. So all these, like anybody can get a show or almost, you know, it's easier to get a show on for one season than have them be like, no thanks. But all these people who are getting their shows renewed and stuff like Jeselnik and stuff.
Right.
So exciting. Nick Kroll. So yeah, you might be right about a new golden age of comedians getting shows. It seems like that's true, so I'm very excited.
Who wins your show?
You know, I don't have a show. I just wrote a pilot for the BBC. I was over in London, and they saw me do some shows and asked me to write a pilot for them. So I delivered that by hand a couple weeks ago.
Is that weird to write for a different? Don't they have a different sensibility?
They do.
Different comedy?
They do to a degree, but I think there's enough like cultural homogenization where we all watch it. You know, like we watch the old Office, they watch Friends. You know, so there's enough cross cultural stuff that we get it. I think, and I watch a lot of British comedy.
The weirdest thing for me is, because I'll occasionally be on a British website or watch, you know, one of the British, like Graham Norton or one of his shows, is an entirely different group of celebrities. Of course, there's some people that everyone knows. Everybody knows Tom Cruise or whatever. But there's, just like we have, you know, so many people here that only Americans know about, it's the same thing over there. And it's just disorienting. You feel like you're living in another world.
And especially with stand-ups, because you can literally drive around England. If you live in London and are like a headlining stand-up, you can perform in like a different 10,000-seat theater every night, like that they're like 20 miles from each other and sleep in your own bed. So the successful comedians there are like multi-millionaires. and we go over there and we're like, hey, may I tell a joke for you, please? And
you put out your little hat.
Yeah, we're like paupers compared to people. And you like, I'd never even heard of them, and they like live on a hovercraft.
How does that happen? Like, why is it so much? Why are they so more richly rewarded in the UK?
I don't know. Maybe I don't have an answer to that. I won't speculate. I don't want to lie to you.
All right. Before you go, Robin, thank you so much for coming in. And again, I want to remind everybody, if you want to head down to San Diego, you should. The American Comedy Club in the Gaslamp Quarter this weekend for Rob Delaney, the 2nd through the 4th. Is it true or not true that in addition to singing the national anthem at ballparks around the country, you also have a board game coming out?
Oh, my God. Yes, it is. Yeah.
What?
I know that that's ridiculous.
Stop it.
It's true. Yeah. I've written a lot of jokes on Twitter, and I got a guy wrote me. Through my manager, and he said, hey, listen, you've written about, 15,000 jokes or whatever now. What if we made it into a board game? And I think he thought that I would be like, I don't know. And I was like, yes, absolutely, because I love to play board. I mean, even though I'm a comedian and see a lot of comedy, the hardest I've ever laughed is, like, playing board games with my mom and my sister and stuff. So the idea that anybody would want to make a board game out of my crap.
And what is it?
It's a combination. You, like, roll a dice, and depending on what you roll is what you then have to do. You would have to complete a tweet with your own ending. You'd have to compare ones to others. So there's aspects of Mad Libs, Apples to Apples, Cards Against Humanity. We just ripped off a bunch of games and put them into one.
I like it.
And are taking all the credit. On the 15th. You can order it now on Amazon.
That's happening.
Oh, my God.
He's singing the national anthem. He's coming out with a board game.
Yeah.
He's a renaissance man.
He's a renaissance man, but only of things that no one's impressed by.
Exactly. Yes. Low grade.
Well, we appreciate you stopping in and coming in and come in anytime.
Thanks
and
so
good
much.
Good luck with the board game.
Thank you, gents.
We've never said those words before. Good luck with the board game ever.
I know, right?
The years we've been doing the program.
Any singing
here.
In any other stadiums?
Nothing scheduled. No.
Nothing. Huh.
Well, if we ever do another live show, Rob, I don't have anything planned right now, but if we ever do, we're having you come out first thing in the morning to sing us into it, all right?
Fantastic.
The beautiful Kat Von D joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The beautiful Amy Schumer in the 9 o'clock hour. Quite a scam we got going here just to meet chicks by doing a radio show, you guys.
Quite a step up from Rob Delaney, too.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about, Ralph?
If you're at a baseball game and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm just saying you'd kill yourself, right? That's the only way. That's your only option you have.
What time did that game end?
I think it was after 2, eventually.
2 a.m.
Or close to it, yeah. It was 19 innings last night. Anaheim ended up losing to Oakland. I think, if I remember correctly, that Anaheim went ahead like in the top of the 15th or something like that, and then Oakland came back and tied it up in the bottom of the 15th, and they played 4 more innings.
19 innings of baseball. Well,
let's say you're an Angels fan, and you stay up till 2 a.m., and then they lose.
Yeah, that hurts.
What a bummer.
Nothing should be allowed to go on. That long? No
innings?
Sport should be allowed to go that. That's a flaw in the plan right there. If
that
can happen.
I agree.
Play all night. Anybody who was there, you should just kill yourself. Because if you, at around inning 13, you'd say, F this sport, and you don't flip off the field and walk out of that stadium, you, sir, are a doormat douchebag.
But like
that sport is just walking all over you. Banging your wife in front of you and then kicking you in the nuts. That's what that sport's doing to you.
Like with any other sport, like overtime in basketball or football, it gets exciting because, wow, who's going to finally win this battle of endurance?
It's exciting for 20 minutes and then it's over. And then you have your answer. Then you move on with your freaking life. Here's the thing about baseball. I got nothing better to do. I'll just sit here for 19 innings because only losers love baseball.
First of all, it's a great sport. You can't say BS, Ralph.
It's true, though.
That's what it is.
You can't say that.
But that's the right word.
Be furious. The whole sport is just so effed up. It's just a mess. It was enjoyed by people back in the time when cholera made life short. And so you didn't care what you watched. Anything was entertaining. But now we have antibiotics, and now we should let it go. Let
why
the sport
you,
go.
Let's why move do on. You think so many millions of people every year go to baseball then?
Brainwash, tradition,
habit.
That's why there's so many Christians, because your parents, raise you up, whatever you believe. You're a Jew or a Muslim or a Christian, whatever household you're belonging, you get brainwashed. And they say, well, this is the way to think. This is great. No, trust me, this is great. So there's fathers there telling their kids, oh, this is a great sport. And the kids are stupid. They don't know any better. And they go, oh, I guess it's good. And they get sucked in, man. It's the cult. It's a cult.
How can you love it? It's crap.
That's what I'm saying.
You're missing out.
It's just a
missing out on what?
It's a nuts.
Watching baseball until 2 a.m.?
Watch nothing happen until 2 a.m.? Well, hey, what's happening now? Nothing. Still tied up. Same thing happening. Guys on grass throwing a ball and hitting it, and nothing has happened. No advance.
By the way,
no team has advanced.
I can't believe Mr. 0-0 Soccer Boy is criticizing baseball.
There's an end to soccer. At least there's an end
at
to it.
At least they call it. Say, yeah. You know what?
At least
this
they go.
This is too interminably boring even for us.
Can't say
what?
BS.
You can't
it's
say
the
BS.
Right word, though.
You can't say BS.
But I'm saying at least in baseball it ends up with a winner. It doesn't end up just everybody quitting and going, well, I guess we'll just go home.
By the
zero
time there's a winner, no one gives an F. No, even the teams don't care who wins at that point. At 2 a.m., they're just weeping, just praying for it to be over.
Half of them asleep.
Oh. Burned up all my showbiz time hating baseball.
There literally were people asleep in the stands.
Of course there were. That game.
All kids. Were. Every kid that was there had to be asleep.
And by the way, the BART had stopped running, so a lot of those people couldn't even get home.
Oh, sweet
they
Jesus.
They may still be there.
Everything is wrong about baseball. All of it. Here's a little showbiz news for you. A little showbiz news. The Toledo Mud Hens, a minor league baseball team, in order to get people into the stands this weekend, are celebrating May 4th. As May the 4th be with you.
Right.
All the players will wear Chewbacca-themed baseball uniforms.
So minor baseball is rules. Minor league baseball, because it's just absurd.
Have you seen what those costumes look like, by the way, Rob? They are hideous.
It's
hideous.
Because baseball blows on all levels, from the amateurs up to the major leagues. It's just filled with blowage.
Blow it.
Guys dressed up like Chewbacca to play baseball. What the F?
All right. That's your showbiz.
We don't even have time for the big penis song. I promise you next hour I'll play you the giant penis song from the man with the world's biggest penis. It'll be very entertaining, and I will have calmed down now.
I doubt it.
Today's celebrity birthday is Cloris Leachman's 87. Willie Nelson is 80. Akon is 40. Johnny Galecki of The Big Bang Theory is 38. Kirsten Dunst celebrates 31 years. Diane Agron is 27 years old today. She of Glee fame. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Big announcement yesterday morning here on the Kevin Amin Show as we rolled out the details for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013 coming up on Saturday, May 18th, which, by the way, it's only 2 weeks from Saturday.
That's crazy.
It's practically already here. It's going to be at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater again like we do with the Black Keys. Also, 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend, Of Monsters and Men, Silver Sun Pickups, Jimmy Eat World, Imagine Dragons, AWOL Nation, The Atlas Genius, C2C, who I know you love. Kevin, did you see them at Coachella?
I did, yes.
They're going to be spinning for us. Fits in the Tantrums on the side stage, along with The Neighborhood, Capital Cities, New Politics, 21 Pilots. It's a great lineup of music. Tickets are going on sale for K-Rock Street Team members this Friday at noon. It's easy to become a Street Team member. Remember, by the way, and you'll get a password sent to you. That way you can buy tickets through Ticketmaster. Friday at noon, details at krock.com. So don't let this one get away because it's going to be the great show of the summer.
Make sure you do that. Make sure you're a K-Rock Street Team member just so you can get the password and buy the tickets. If you want to then cancel, feel free. But nobody that's not a Street Team member will get to buy tickets at Friday at noon. So you might want to just make sure that you do that just for a little bit, and then you can actually buy those tickets.
Kat Von D joins us in a couple of minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Amy Schumer next hour. Here's a name you haven't heard in the news for a while. Alexander Graham Bell. That name sound familiar to you?
Yes.
He's the guy credited widely with inventing the telephone, although there's some controversy over how much he had to do with it versus other inventors at the time. But he is back in the news, Kevin, and this is a fascinating story. I know this sounds like kind of an NPR story, but this is fascinating to me because he was working back in 1885 trying to figure out ways to put the human voice down on some sort of material so that it could be transferred, so that it could be played, so that you could record yourself and play it. This is long before things like magnetic tape. So he recorded all of these cylinders and on tin foil and things like that back in the 1880s, and we haven't been able to figure out until now how to listen to them.
What? We can listen to them now, but we couldn't last year?
Yes.
What?
Yes. Last year, we didn't know how to get the sound off of these recordings, and now we do. And they've been working hard on this, and they figured it out. So it's kind of crazy that for the first time, we're able to hear Alexander Graham Bell's voice, actually what he was recording in his laboratory. And it's just crazy. You can find articles anywhere online now if you want to see more about this or hear more of the actual tapes than what we're about to play for you here on the radio.
It's not a great recording, I'll be honest with you.
Well, I mean, it's not in high fidelity. No, it's,
why is he just counting? What's the point of that?
You know what it is? It's like when you test
testing 20, a microphone. You know, you're like testing 30, 1, 2, 1, 2. You're not really caring what you're saying. You're just trying to put something down. So, 40, yeah, he's counting. He's actually counting money is what he's doing. He's like $4.25, $5.50. It's kind of weird. But they have unveiled, and I think you can hear more of this at the Smithsonian, but they have unveiled the actual recording of Alexander Graham Bell, inventor of the telephone, from back in 1885. And I know we don't do a lot of history on the show, but we thought it might be fun for the Kevin Bean listeners to hear a little bit of what that sounds like.
10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 1, 2, 3, B-I-G. It's our time to shine. Let's shine. Let's shine.
What?
Now it's time for Bell Death Corner. A man in Florida, why is it always Florida, has died from his wife giving him consumption that she got from her boyfriend. Oh, that's a bad surprise. Now it's time for the showbiz beat. P.T. Barnum Circus has announced it will tour with his giant elephant Jumbo. And at the top of the charts, it's a new hit song from Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado. That's great. They'll be playing our big mutton roast concert.
What?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Nobody would listen to that.
What's happening?
That's stupid.
What? What are you sighing about?
Kat, what are we going to do with you?
I don't know.
What are we going to do with you?
You have no idea how loudly I woke up and said the F word.
You are an unreliable guest, my friend.
That is not true. That is so not true.
Well, maybe today's not the day to argue that.
So you forgot you were had a date with Kevin and Bean this morning?
No way. I was so excited and pumped about it. I'm so mad at Joel right now.
Stupid Joel. Did you oversleep? Is that what happened?
Well, no, here's the thing. It's like I have been under the weather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was on this book tour and I actually had to cancel like a few dates. I've never, ever, ever once canceled dates on tour, anything. That's craziness.
Well, we don't want you to bring your Black Death in here either.
No, I'm my Black Death. I don't have any Black Death.
You're not
I'm
sick.
Fine.
You're just run down.
No. Yeah, I got like crazy exhaustion and dizziness. So I got dizziness. But anyway, so I've just been working really crazy at Wonderland because we've got an exhibit coming up and stuff. So
this is how you know that Kat Von D is an actual big time celebrity now. She's now using exhaustion and dehydration as an excuse to get out of stuff.
I like it.
No, it's called vertigo.
Well, we've been looking through Go Big or Go Home, and it is a fascinating book. And it has a lot of great stories in it. A lot of great celebrity stories. Has a lot of great photos.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, and I've been in there with you guys talking about every time my last two books came out, and for this book, it actually took me so much longer to write than the other.
Why do you think?
Well, I mean, it's definitely on an emotional level a lot more challenging, I guess you could say. It was a little harder to write, I think. I mean, I dove a little deeper into stuff.
That's what I was going to say is you are a person who spends a lot of time analyzing your feelings, aren't you? I mean, you are constantly, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but you're extremely aware of what's going on in your life and what you think about it. And it seems like you spend a lot of time trying to improve your life and be a better person.
I want to be better. I don't think that I exhaust a lot of time, like, you know, like hours and hours thinking here in my house or whatever. I think it's more like there's things that bring great awareness, you know, and instead of just shrugging it off, I want to make it better.
Well, was it difficult to get some of the people in the book? Because you sort of share their stories, too, in a roundabout way.
Yeah, but, you know, I think people are pretty forthcoming with their feelings in general when I tattoo them, so it's not, you know, I think the sharing of the feelings isn't the difficult part, I think, because all the tattoos in the book are all large-scale tattoos. That was harder to get. You know, people were, I'm like, hey, if I haven't already done your back piece, is it cool if we do a big, giant back piece? So, you know, that it's not, it, it
takes a lot of time and dedication to finish big pieces like that.
This is the voice of Kat Von D here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about her new book, her third book, by the way, called Go Big or Go Home, Taking Risks in Life, Love, and Tattooing. And as Kevin mentioned, it is just a beautiful book with lots of pictures, incredible artwork, including a bunch of your own artwork, and amazing stories of people, some known, some unknown. I love the story you tell about how Billy Joe Armstrong wanted you to finish a tattoo of his, but he didn't have time to come down to high voltage. Tell us about that, Kat.
Well, it wasn't that he didn't have time, because I don't play that man. No, his wife was so awesome. She's very humble and very sweet about it. You know, it was for his birthday, and she wanted to surprise him, and so. It would be a lot easier, obviously, if I flew out there and did it for the surprise versus flying him down to L.A.
Right.
I think she'd have to tell him. So that was kind of how it worked out. But then he ended up sending me a bunch of references and things, so I think he kind of knew a little bit.
You don't like tattooing out of the shop, though, because you have everything you need right there.
Very rarely do I do that, you know. But I think it was... A friend of a friend had called in, like, I guess a favor, but it was more like, I was honestly more taken aback by his wife's, like, sweetness, and she was just very respectful and didn't want to, she wasn't trying to be, like, a diva about
right,
it, you know?
Right. She's just asking you nicely if you could help surprise him.
Funny, funny enough, I mean, if you read the entry on it, it's like, it ended up being a pretty important part of the book, and I didn't know that at the time, I just knew I had to go up there and do this tattoo, and so I don't know. I think it all worked out.
The other thing I like about it is you do have the celebrities in there. You have Bobcat Goldthwait, you have Ewan McGregor, but you also have everybody else that you've done major tattoo work on, and they're all in there just as important as every other one.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've always seen it that way. I mean, in the past, I think I never really put like celebrities in my book because, you know, I was trying to get that kind of street cred. It was
right.
More just, you know, their subject matters thematically fit into place with the book. But and with this one, I think it would have been really hard to seek out, you know, actors and actresses who have large scale tattoos, because I think it's hard for an actor or an actress to get tattooed like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
I was surprised with Ewan.
Ewan McGregor?
Yeah, I didn't even know he had tattoos.
Because, like you said, when you're an actor, that means you're basically going to have to go through an additional round of makeup to cover up those tattoos for most of the roles that you play the rest of your life.
Well, sure, and also, too, like, I would imagine that it would affect, in some ways, you have too many, like, perceptions, you know? Like I know for me, all the movie roles that I've ever gotten were either vampires, hookers, or, like, drug dealers.
Do you still think that negative stereotype is out there?
Well, I think on an aesthetic level, people get casted all the time. But, I mean, no, I don't think it's like that as bad. But, yeah.
Well, Kat, we got to get you on Sons of Anarchy, man. You'd be perfect for that, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
Listen, we're almost out of time here. A couple of quick questions. One about the book is, did you ever go back out surfing again? You had the client that offered to take you and teach you surfing. Did you keep up with that, or was that a one-time deal?
That's my buddy Brandon. I was just texting with him yesterday. I'm like, are we ready to go surfing again? Because, you know, it was cold for a little bit, and now it's getting hot again. So, yeah, I'm going to go surfing again. And, yes, I have gone.
Okay.
Yes, I still suck. I totally suck.
Sure. Takes a while.
And the next thing I wanted to ask, since the last time we talked to you, you got engaged. Is that still on? And if so, when are you getting married?
Yes, and that's why I'm super mad, because Joel was going to come with me this morning, and the alarm was on his side of the bed, and he put snooze, and I was so mad at him.
That's funny. He's like, I don't have to get up. Why am I not hitting snooze? We heard it. We heard your wedding was going to be an underwater theme. Is that true?
No. We're not. Okay. It's going to be of an underwater theme. There's going to be elements of underwater, but it's not. We're not actually going underwater with like snorkels. And
just
stuff
checking, because
like
we thought maybe you'd lost it.
No.
All right. Good.
All right. Yeah, next time
Joel and I'll come in.
All right, that'd be great.
Well, yeah, you're always welcome. The book is called Go Big or Go Home, Taking Risk in Life, Love, and Tattooing from Kat Von D. Available everywhere now. Just came out on April the 16th. You can buy it at bookstores or Amazon.com. Do you have usually, when you're promoting a book in town, it's because you have a signing. Any place that people can meet you, get their book signed? Is that, or have you already missed that, Kat?
I had my signing the other day, this last Saturday, and it was so good. And,
well, this
and
is so excellent great. Timing. That great work on promoting it.
Yeah. I just wanted to see you guys. That's all.
You're the best, and we saw you. Oh, wait.
All right. Well, listen.
I swear to God, I'll make it up.
The good news is you can roll back over and go back to sleep now, and Kevin Amin will just be an ugly dream you had.
Oh, no.
You can do no
Thank
wrong.
You, guys.
You can do no wrong by us. Thank you, Kat.
Bye.
Bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
So much better off air than we are right now, really, in my opinion.
I support your new porn name, the what's it called?
The Spleen Piercer.
The Spleen Piercer, sure. I'd buy that. Why not? Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Amy Schumer is going to be joining us right after the 9 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll ask her the question about the thing, Ralph. Maybe we'll get a woman's opinion on
this. Okay, good.
Right. Since Lisa's on vacation, we'll ask her. All right, first, though, I'm embarrassed to say that it is time for yet another round of Kevin and Bean's saddest feature, Would You Like to Take That Back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you? If you could, you would, you could, you take that back. Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would, you could, you take that back?
This is our chance to do over. Look, we're on the radio 25 hours a week live, and oftentimes we say things that maybe were ill-considered, maybe not as funny as we hoped they would be, and this gives us an opportunity to kind of wipe the slate clean a little bit and say, no, I take that back. I reject that myself.
We've done one many, many, many times, and I'm so tired of it, but Bede and Ralph tried to force it in. I think it was last week.
Yesterday.
Or yesterday. And I was trying desperately to stop it. I couldn't stop it. I apologize. This is Bean and Ralph.
Today's celebrity birthday is Tyler Labine, 35 years old today. I miss him on my TV screen. Remember Reaper? Loved him.
Oh, sure.
He was great on that show.
Nope.
Guys know that.
Nope.
I'm afraid of
no,
that.
Sir.
It scares me.
No, sir.
Bean?
Nope. No, sir.
Don't fear the Reaper.
Nope.
Don't fear the Reaper.
Come on, Kevin. There's a show called Reaper that I'm afraid of.
Right, but you made that joke before how many times?
Lots.
Would you like to take that back?
Ralph says don't fear the Reaper.
Right, I get it.
That's a popular song.
Would you like to take that back?
I think there's some room for the classic, traditional.
Would you like to take that back?
Oldie but goodies.
I can't speak for Mr. Garvin, but if you're asking me, no, I absolutely would not like to take that back.
No, I wouldn't take that
back
either.
It's some bad choices.
It's a classic. It's like hearing White Christmas on the radio around Christmas time. You know, it's an old
song.
It's
not like that at all.
We've all heard it to death, but it's a heartwarming classic.
All right. Ralph, how about this one?
Singer-actress Mandy Moore.
Oh, I miss Mandy. Where's she been?
Too. Sometimes more is less. But I say the more the merrier.
Oh, my God.
Violet.
Wow. You guys are no fun anymore.
Because you made a terrible joke?
That was jab, jab, right cross.
It was a miss jab, right cross,
no.
4 feet from the face.
Because where is she? Well, sometimes more is less.
Yeah,
she's
we
not
get
around.
It. We understand.
Then I finished up with you guys aren't fun anymore.
Right.
Ugh. Genius.
Would you like to take that back?
Oh, no way.
What's happening?
That is a keeper. I'm putting that on a t-shirt.
Are you kidding? All right, I have one that I know Bean will take back. And if he doesn't, we will all beat him into it.
Man, they're dropping like flies over there on Splash. Another celebrity in a high dive-related injury. Rory Bushfield, he ruptured his eardrum, and Catherine Webb had to back out of the competition. She left due to a back injury as well. So they're dropping.
Well, she should have a back injury full time anyway. You know what I'm saying? With everything, with everything,
with everything. No,
we don't understand.
No.
How does that even relate to anything sexual?
That's horrible.
Would you like to take that back?
guys, it's not. What was that? You know, this is one of those instances where we do need more information.
Yes.
We don't even understand.
For once, we want you to explain yourself.
It's not uncommon for ladies who have large breasts to have back pain.
But because, why would you say she should have back
like
pain?
Like you're wishing it on her. Yeah,
no.
She should have back pain all the time.
And then what was that?
I'm saying she should have back pain all the time because her breasts are so large. I'm saying that's probably what she experiences on a daily basis, having nothing to do with the diving show. Look,
no.
I think the premise was solid.
Listen, everybody. No! Lisa's like, no!
I think the premise was solid, but based on the mass confusion in the room, apparently the delivery was substandard. So
there
I will take it back.
There you go. Finally.
I'm not immune to taking it back if I feel like I failed. And that one, it apparently didn't go over as well as I thought.
Now, one that Bean was defiant when we put it in the file. There's no way he's taking this back. He doesn't even understand how we would put it in the file.
Right.
And I'm going to play it, and after you hear it, then you're going to hear a long pause, and that's real, because Bean's pissed. She's just completely convinced that he's back, and he's making her life a living hell.
I knew that LaToya was cray-cray, but when I saw her the first time around on Celebrity Apprentice, I'm not watching this season, but the first time around on Celebrity Apprentice, I couldn't believe how far out she was.
I can't believe you just said cray-cray.
Well, we thought we'd get some more information from Michael Jackson himself, so we asked producer.
Would you like to take that back?
Come on. You using cray cray.
That's not what would you like to take that back is about, by the way. That wasn't me trying to make a pun or a bad joke. It was just using an expression. That's all.
An expression that you shouldn't be using ever.
Yeah. Why?
Ever.
What's wrong with me saying cray-cray?
Because the blackest of people have a hard time pulling that off, is what we're saying.
Kanye can barely pull that off.
When a gnarled, wizened white guy tries to say it, it sounds
Would you like to take that back?
Weird.
First of all, DJ Spida Biffin had a song called cray-cray, so it is part of my lexicon.
Seriously, do you think you pulled cray-cray off?
I think it would have just slid on by without comment if you guys hadn't stopped. I really do. I think it would have been. Everybody knew what I was saying, which is that LaToya Jackson was crazy.
That was a fart in an elevator when you said cray cray. No way anyone was just going to let that slide by.
I think although I agree with you, I think on principle, no, I will not take it back.
Wow, you are a hideous human being. All right, the final one. Is Ralph.
This is like, you know when you watch fireworks on the 4th of July when you're a kid, and then they save that giant display where they send up everything they have left?
Right.
That's what this is.
This
for
is
would you like
everything
to take
we
that
have
back.
Left. This is Ralph, Bean, and myself.
Whoa, Kevin makes a rare appearance. Would you like to take that back?
Great story out of Berlin, Ohio. Two neighbors battling each other. Scott, one of the next door neighbors, called police to report that he had just gotten bitten above his eye by his neighbor, Roger.
Bitten above his eye.
Yeah. Apparently, Roger had asked Scott to testify on his behalf in an upcoming trial. Hall said no. That's when Oates took a big chunk of skin out of his eyebrow. That's right. The neighbors' names are Hall and Oates.
Come on.
Oh, wow.
Police were called to the scene. Hall and Oates are fighting.
Come on.
Say it as it's so.
Put in the file.
What? We're talking about Hall and Oates.
took a chunk out of his skin out of his left eyebrow.
Jeez.
He's a man-eater.
Come on. The guy that got eaten say, I can't go for that?
Hey, does Hall have a wife or is she gone?
Really?
A bit of a stretch, I gotta be honest.
Really? Who did they have come in to do the research on the case? Private Eyes?
Journalists, as you can imagine, were staked out outside the police station. Hall's wife was coming out, his wife Sarah, and the photographer said, Sarah, smile.
Does Sarah have any money? Do you know?
She's a rich girl.
Oh, she is. Okay, good.
Come on, there's no alley-oops in this game.
Wow, how many was that? Do we keep count?
That was pretty impressive.
That was way too many.
Oh, man. I'm
Kevin,
crying.
How come you waited? You hate those. You hate those games.
I do hate those games, but mainly because I can't remember any songs so that I can participate.
So when he sees a chance to jump in, he has to.
I still hate it. I would take it back in a second. I'm taking my part back.
Hmm.
Done.
I'm not taking Maneater back, but I will take Sarah Smile back.
All right, Bean. What about the long stretch for an out, the slide for an out that was, what was his?
Who are the people coming in to do the research on the case? Private Eyes?
I didn't mind Private Eyes. I didn't mind Say It Isn't So. I got to take back She's Gone Now. I got to take that one back. So I think I'm taking some partial blame for this one as well.
Okay. All right.
Comedian Amy Schumer joins us in studio, coming up right after the top of the hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Hi there. My name's Ralph. I had the showbiz beat.
Really? What happened?
He wasn't talking to Amy Schumer.
They told me what time the showbiz beat was going to go on.
8:53.
I know, but I didn't look to see what time it was, so I assumed the song was going to be a certain length. And then the song would be over at 8:53.
You know what happens when you assume.
Yeah. I didn't know that the song was being jettisoned and I was going
to
go right in.
That's what was happening.
That's what I need to know.
We have Amy Schumer.
Those are the information points that I need to get in the future.
All right.
We'll work it out. It's just a little bug in the system. We'll work it out. That's right. Jonah Falcon, the man with the largest penis, now has a record out. You've been waiting for it. You say, sure, I love Jonah Falcon's work. Sure, he's the man with the largest recorded penis of 13.5 inches. But when is he going to record some music?
That's what everybody's been asking. That's right.
Well, everybody that's good at one thing is good at everything, Ralph.
Right. And if he didn't record a song, then we can be certain that he would either A, start his own fashion line.
True.
Or write a book. Or what other activities do loser celebrities engage themselves in?
Perfume.
Perfume, right? Or cocktails.
Sure.
Yeah, he could have made his own cocktail line.
Uh-huh.
This time he's releasing a song called It's Too Big about his 13.5-inch penis.
It's Too Big.
It's co-recorded with pop singer Adam Barta.
Okay.
Adam sings the majority of the lyrics, and then Jonah chimes in on the chorus. Lyrics like, I heard it from all the guys and every single freaking girl. They want to try and take a ride on the biggest in the world. But in order to ride the beast, it must be unfurled.
Really?
Yeah, too damn big. It's just too damn big. Your penis too damn big. Yeah, it's too damn big. Would you like to hear a little of this smash hit
Please.
Sensation?
More than anything.
I've heard it from all the guys and every single freaking girl. They want to try and take a ride on the biggest in the world. But in order to ride the beast, it must be unfurled. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And it keeps growing. Too damn big. It's just too damn big. Your penis too damn big. It's just too damn big. Too damn big. My penis too damn big.
It's a hit. I can hear it. I'll totally buy it.
Sweeping the nation. You should see the dance craze that goes with it.
What the hell? I would just think that it would frighten away more women than it would attract.
The only thing that make that song better is if Farrah Abraham stars in the video.
Yes, sure.
Yeah, there you go.
And she sells it to Vivid for a cool mil. 13.5? I could get some work done with 13.5.
You think?
I'm saying.
I'm thinking you would run people off.
I'm saying you weed out the weak.
Sure.
It's theory of Darwin right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Only
yes.
The strong survive. You get the people who show up at 13.5 are ready to play. That's all I'm saying. Game on. You hear me?
They're also a certain size, Ralph.
You don't know.
You do know. You have to know.
No.
To handle that.
I got some videos for you to watch afterwards. we'll talk about that. Liam Hemsworth, of course, famously engaged to Miley Cyrus.
That's not going to last, is it?
She is talking to the press saying that the two of them were too free with their relationship, too open. They paid the price. The press was not kind to them because they were too honest and open about their relationship. She regrets now being, in her words, too nice to the world, giving them too much insight into their lives. So they're going to play it close to the vest from now on. She said, just seems so right wearing his ring and being committed. They're looking forward to marriage together. In a related story, Star Magazine says, Liam Hemsworth is dating January Jones.
What a huge step up that is.
But ex-fiance Miley Cyrus is still telling everyone they're getting married. So maybe they were too free with their relationship, or maybe the press is just playing games.
Maybe she's crazy.
And
maybe she's cray-cray. Right, Bean?
Are you ready for the next great reality show?
I don't know. What is it?
ABC.
Does it involve living in Times Square in an hourglass?
It doesn't. It's even better. ABC has picked up another singing competition show.
All right.
Finally, we get one of those on the air.
Don't have any of those.
This is great, because there's no place for unsigned talent to go and make it in show business anymore,
right? However, I don't think ABC has one, right?
They've got
diving, they've got dancing.
Right.
But I don't believe they have singing, so now they have Sing Your Face Off.
Sing Your Face Off.
Sing
is
Your
it metal?
Face Off.
Does your face have to actually come off at the end of it?
Well, not your face, but a celebrity's face. Here's what they'll do. A team of makeup artists, choreographers, and vocal coaches will take an amateur singer and make them look exactly like their musical heroes, and then that person will sing songs from that celebrity.
That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
MTV already has this exact same show where they take a Kesha fan and make her up to look and sing like Kesha.
Oh,
or
well,
whoever.
Someone should call ABC then.
That's absurd.
What?
They were going to put prosthetic makeup on, teach you how to dance, how to sing. You will walk, talk, and have every distinguishing mannerism of your musical icon, and then you will sing a song by that person.
There's nobody in that meeting that said, is that dumb?
And then you will compete. And then there will be a winner at the end, and that winner will sing their face off, and then you'll get to see their real face underneath.
Nope.
Ralph, if you don't go on that show and be Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, then I don't want to know you.
True. That would be awesome in a fat suit beyond the piano. Well, East Coast girls are hit by really.
Now I'm watching.
Ghost eyes they wear. Be the best.
Get Psycho Mike on there with you to do the Nate Dogg part. Be perfect.
Be awesome. And Vivid Entertainment president Steve Hirsch finally talking about his deal with Farrah Abraham, Teen Mom. He purchased her very classy sex tape for what they're saying is high six figures. So we're assuming almost $1 million for her sex tape. Let's remind ourselves she did film it for her own personal use and privacy.
Right.
I guess I've had a lot of flaws this year just trying to work out being 21.
Yeah.
My flaw is being in the public eye because it's caused me a lot of issues.
That's right. He says that she reminds him of a young Kim Kardashian.
Without the talent.
That's right. Meaning... I can't even say what I want to say.
No.
We all remember how Kim got started.
Yes.
So they have the same gifts, apparently.
Yes.
They have the same arrows in their quiver, so to speak. The name of the production, in case you missed it yesterday when it was announced, Farrah Superstar Backdoor Teen Mom.
Sure.
For me to be happy for myself and my own privacy, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Nope. She had no intention of selling that tape.
Nope.
It was for privacy.
Privacy. Come on. Anderson Cooper, please. We're trying to do a serious
video for privacy.
It's just for own personal use. It was not for the public to see.
It's
upset people are even talking about it. Now it's going to be in porn shops everywhere. Serious stuff.
Okay.
Come on. Poop. Poop.
We got a guest we want to get to.
Pull
Anderson.
It
Come on.
Today's celebrity birthday is Cloris Leachman's 87 years old. Today's singer Willie Nelson turns 80. Akon is 40 years old. Johnny Galecki of Big Bang Theory turns 38. Kirsten Dunst is 31. And Diana Agron of Glee is 27 years old. Today I'm Ralph Garman. I sing my face off.
That reminds me, Friday at noon, tickets go on sale for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013. The show is Saturday, May 18th, 2 weeks from Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater with Of Monsters to Men, Vampire Weekend, 30 Seconds to Mars, Black Keys, and so much more. Be a street team member to buy your tickets Friday at noon. It's going to be a great show. Hi, Amy Schumer.
Hi. Good morning.
Even the title of your new Comedy Central show is filthy. What's up with you? Inside Amy Schumer premieres tonight on Comedy Central at 10:30. You love sexy talk.
Yeah. I do. I think about sex. I like talking about it. I don't feel bad about it. But
and you should.
A lot of people feel like I should feel bad about it.
Why?
But I just don't. I don't know. They feel like, why is she allowed to do that? But I don't feel like that.
Odd. Well, let's face it. For as long as there have been people, there's been that whole virgin horror complex where you want the women to be great in bed, but you want them to pretend like they don't want it or like it or know anything about it. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I really should try that game. I should try playing hard to get once.
You're over the. That's behind you. That's water under the bridge.
There's been a lot behind me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just have always liked talking about sex. But the TV show, it's not all sex. Even though we are marketing it that way, because
sure.
They're smart.
Sure.
It's definitely, I guess, heavily sexual.
But I just wonder, because I watched episode one, and it's very funny, and we certainly urge Kevin to be listeners to check it out tonight on Comedy Central. And I thought, I just wonder if you would have had trouble getting this on the air even like a year ago or 2 years ago, because it does seem like you're pushing the limits, even for basic cable, about as far as you can to be able to get it approved.
Yeah, we took every liberty we were allowed. Just every...
Did you find yourself in ridiculous fights over certain words?
It wasn't words. It was more what we could actually physically show. Like, there's a scene called that we called POV porn, mm-hmm. and it starts with me and Amber Tamblyn, and I'm like convincing her to watch this new kind of porn. It's porn for women from a woman's point of view, and then we cut to it, and it's just like looking at a man's chest really close, like having sex with his girlfriend, and like up his nostril, and you see her leg over his shoulder, and she's kind of looking at the headboard, zooming in and out of the headboard. And but with her leg over his shoulder, they were like, you can't show her foot. That was yes, standards
that
and practices.
Put it over the top.
They said, don't you dare. I mean, you don't see anything, you know, anything sexual, but it looks pretty graphic. But no foot.
Without the foot, fine.
No foot.
That's
without the foot.
So bizarre.
We were, yeah, they're like, and you can only see her knee for 5 frames. It was like, okay.
Is
there a rule book about when a girl's
no, they make it all
leg
up.
Is over
they
her
make
shoulder?
It all up. They make it all
it's
up.
Such, it's so arbitrary.
It's crazy. Well,
and you know, we run into the exact same thing with, of course, just words on radio, where they can't tell you what the rules are, but they will tell you when they don't think you can do what you want to do.
I just wish they would be honest about it and just be like, look. We're just like trying not to get fired, and we have to make stuff up. Just pretend like it means something.
We wish they'd say that too.
Why don't they be real about it?
We wish they would say that too.
I would love that honesty.
We've been in meetings where they say, you sign here saying that you understand all of the rules as they've been laid out, and we always just write out these are not.
Nobody understands the rules, including the people who enforce them, right?
And the emails like are always, they have that paragraph at the bottom like, do not. This is a confidential email. Ooh, whoops, I just told you guys. Oh, well.
Now, Amy, you've had specials on the air before, and that's a little different than doing a weekly television show. Is it way much more work than you thought it would be?
It was so much work. I don't think I'm equipped to do this kind of work.
Is that right?
I sleep and do stand up at night, and that was it. And I was like, oh, my life is so hard. And then now it was like I went into a cave and had to make this TV show for months. I didn't see the light of day, and it was a ton more work
some
and
of
more
stand-up,
personal.
Some of it's skits, some of it's on the street.
Yeah.
And then
I interview somebody at the end of each episode, just somebody I haven't gotten to talk to before. Just have like a long conversation, like a dominatrix or
a dominatrix.
Well endowed guy. Like you guys are just talking about that
13
guy.
And a half inches.
God, what do you? Can he run? Like, what do you do?
I don't know.
I have practical questions for him.
So do we, because the question for us was if you could trade places with him, would you? And I said no.
No.
Absolutely
no. Does he have to sleep on his back? Like, what do you do?
That's a good question.
Amy, we
have had the same questions. In fact, let's try to get Jonah Falcon on. Assistant producer Christine, if you're listening, let's try to get Mr. Falcon on so we can ask some of these questions.
I have a press conference with him. But yeah, I had a well-endowed guy on the show, and I asked him some questions. I think the way that I ended our interview was asking if he'd ever had anal and where she was buried.
Amy, as a woman, though,
yes,
is that appealing to you?
Being
or is
a
that,
woman? No.
No,
it's horrible.
No, the 13 and a half inch penis. Is that appealing to you, or is that too much and you run from
not.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's no bueno, right?
Oh, my gosh, no. I, and I'm not trying to make it sound like I have, like, the most precious tiny vagina on earth. It's normal. But she does not need 13 inches.
Yeah, right.
I'm happy with a good four. Let's get a nice four in there.
See, beer mug, finally a woman for you. Congratulations.
No, I think that huge penises, they're superfluous. It's like a Hummer limo. They look cool, but you can't park them anywhere. So what's the point?
Exactly.
You know?
There you go.
Well said.
They're unicorns. They, you always wanted to encounter one, but if you actually saw one in front of you, you would run.
That's true.
You'd think it's like just a horse with a giant weapon on its head. That's what a huge penis is, except obviously unicorns are white.
Amy.
Amy Schumer is here. The show is called Inside Amy Schumer. We have seen episode one. It is very, very funny. It debuts tonight at 10:30 on Comedy Central. You do not want to miss it. Episode one, by the way, is called Bad Decisions. And we'll talk some more about some of the bad decisions that she makes in this show when we return right after this with our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Amy Schumer in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is hilarious and lovely. Her show is called Inside Amy Schumer, and it debuts tonight on Comedy Central. By the way, because of the kind of act that you do, Amy, do you get more guys hitting on you than regular people, or fewer guys because they're intimidated because you know so much more than they do?
I don't know. That's the thing. That's like, I don't know more than anybody. Like, I don't mean to. I just like talk about what my experience is, but I like to tell myself that I'm intimidating, and that's why more guys don't talk to me. That's what I tell myself. I'm like,
and that makes you feel better?
Girl. I call myself girl in my head. I'm like, girl, you got it, girl. Don't worry. He's just intimidated by you. Wait, was that just the Third Eye Blind song playing?
Yes, it was.
That song reminds me of like being in a bar and people not hitting on me. Aww. Like when I was younger, I'd being like, there's the boy I like. And he'd just be like, can you get me a beer?
Well,
but look at me now.
Look at you now.
With a TV show.
Same stuff.
We apologize that you had to hear that Third Eye Blind song. We tried to hide that from you, but I'm sorry.
You're trying to distract me.
We were.
What when guys do hit on you, and yeah, you're being modest if you try to tell us they don't because you're very pretty and you're famous, but when they do hit on you, do they go the comedy route because you're a comedian?
Not if they're smart.
Yeah, there you go.
Guys, I mean, I'm like an introvert out in the world, so I'm not like at bars in situations where I think a lot of guys would hit on me. But when a guy does hit on me and he tries to make a joke,
yeah,
it's like sexual harassment. Like if he's hot, it's okay. You know?
Oh,
like,
I see.
If a guy, if I just feel like he's like cute and he's like a nice guy, then it's fine. But if like some right monster comes up and is like, so do you ever, I'll be like, get away from me. Like any other flaky
you
person.
You pull up your rape whistle?
Yeah. Yeah. How dare you? Fake I pretend it. Like he's trying to steal my purse. I do Silver Linings Playbook. This is
a movie theater. I just think you'd have to be pretty bold to try comedy on a professional comedian.
You
that's
would
all.
Think.
I would not have that kind of stone.
That's because you're just smart.
That happens a lot, though, really? People try to be funny because they think they'll catch your attention?
You know, everybody thinks they're funny. Like, everybody thinks that they're like, if I tried stand-up, I would be amazing.
Right.
You're like,
easy.
I
you
wish
just,
everybody
just
would
walk
try
out there
stand-up.
And talk.
Until they try it, yeah.
I love when someone tries stand-up. You're like, do it. You'd be amazing. And then it's so hard. The charisma just drains from your body the first time you do
what
it.
What was your first one? Your very first stand-up when
oh, my God. I have a tape of it.
You do.
First of all, I had
can you
bangs.
Send us a tape of it?
No.
Come on.
I don't trust you guys at all.
No, we would put it up. I'm telling you right now. I'm not trying to hide it.
It was just brutal. I was doing jokes about skywriting and just, I don't
do
know.
Do you remember
who,
your skywriting joke? What was the chunk
I
like?
Remember the premise. Okay. I don't, you know, I think that I didn't have a punchline and I think it was just the premise.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was part of the problem of your joke.
Hey, what about those people that write in the clouds, huh?
I was announcing my premise. I was like talking about how it always fades before you can read it and that it's a stupid way to get engaged.
Right.
Because, and I had like, I remember I ended it by being like, so guys, this summer, keep your eyes down. Like just some way to tie it all together. I mean, you suck when you start stand up. You suck for years.
Yeah.
That's why when someone's like, oh, I'm just getting into stand up, any advice? And I'm like, run.
Yeah, don't do it.
Go to dental school what? And don't do this horrible, isolating life.
What keeps you there when that happens for a couple of years? It's just a rush?
No,
one
it's
laugh.
Being delusional.
It is.
It's narcissism. But it is. It just takes over. It's an addiction because once you start figuring out how to be good at it,
you get one
you
laugh.
Get little glimpses, and then it's like one little laugh at a time, and you just have to chip away at it. And either you get addicted to it and it takes over you, or not. And I just unfortunately caught the bug for real and wanted to just work hard on it and do nothing else. And it's a great way to avoid social situations. Like, oh, I had a baby. I'm like, I can't come. I have a show. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right. You got
have a great
out of everything.
First birthday for and you, Kylie.
And you don't have a show,
have
but you can
go
say
to
it
Anaheim.
Anytime you want.
Amy, it's always dangerous for us when we ask parents questions because they usually end up being dead and then we're embarrassed that we brought it up. But if you have parents, have they accepted that this is
parents.
Your life now?
Wait, if I have parents?
Here's what happens. Usually we'll say,
do your mom and dad agree on you, and are they proud of you now that you've made it? And then you'll say, my dad's dead, and we'll go, oh.
And then we feel horrible because we didn't
know. I wish they were dead just so I could answer you that way. My dad is MS, so he might as well be dead.
Okay.
Does that
Well, good.
That
you found the bright side of the answer. Thank you.
That makes
me
feel so much better.
They're totally proud of me. I did not have the parent wanting me to go to law school struggle. That
okay. But they're not gonna. You're not going to let them watch your show tonight, though, right?
Of
Please
course.
Say no.
They have been to a bunch of tapings, and there's, yeah.
But what about this particular joke?
Oh. No one's ever caught on my face. That surprises a lot of people. Never caught one up top, as they say in the biz. Again, I'm not against it. I'm not for it. I'll never be, like, picketing with a sign with an arrow toward my head, but no one's ever gone for it. I don't know what I would do if I'm like, my boyfriend went for it. My guess is I'd be like, no, my dad loved me. Like that kind of a...
Your dad would like that joke.
I mean, why not be really proud of that? No one's ever done that. That's great.
That sounds like a challenge.
Good job, honey. They pat me on the back.
Look, I don't ever...
She gets me orange slices and a juice box. I don't know why I just made it that I was at a soccer game.
I don't either. That's always a relationship with your parents.
I've never played soccer. I don't know why.
I don't ever want my parents to know that there is a thing called Two Girls, One Cup, much less see me in a scene where I'm auditioning for it as you do to open tonight's show.
Well, you and I just have had a different path.
You
yeah, we
auditioning
did.
For Two Girls, One Cup is classic.
I'm trying to break into acting.
It is uncomfortable.
That's not
tragic.
My mind always goes to the most mundane part of a situation. Like, I was like, what would the production meeting have been like for that video? They sat down. They were like, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do.
It.
No, I won't. I won't
you
say
kept
it.
Saying, then you use makeup and fake stuff.
Right, it's fake, nope. Right? Stage chocolate. And he's like, no, it's real. It's real.
A lot of shot glass, though.
No, a 16-ounce glass. It was, yeah. And the girl's power eating next to me the whole time.
Yep.
It is.
That girl's on Homeland now, by the way.
She really?
Yeah. She must really. I haven't seen her tweeting about her performance on the show. She's hoping.
She's probably trying to notice.
Danielle Pineda.
Nobody noticed.
She's great. Yeah.
It is one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever seen on television. That, yeah.
Awesome.
That opening. So.
And also my friend Mark Menchaca, who is on Homeland, is in the one-night stand one.
What?
Yeah. He's the guy with like the leg braces. Who's always drunk and yelling. He's really like that, and he's really like that.
Well, I'm sorry that we're out of time, but the show is so funny, and Amy, we've been a fan of your work for a long time, so we're delighted that... I remember when you told us you were going to have a TV show, and we were like, well, that's great.
You guys didn't believe me.
We didn't.
No, we believed you, but I wasn't convinced it would make the air, so the fact that it's actually here tonight is impressive. Check it out tonight at 10:30 on Comedy Central. It's Amy Schumer's show called Inside Amy Schumer. Trust us when we say this. If you like the Kevin and Bean show... Well, I can't. I don't know whether you're going to like this or not.
What kind of what? This is the worst plug I've ever heard.
If you like the Kevin and Bean show, you'll like it. Is
you'll
what
like
he meant
it.
To
All
say.
Right. Yeah, you'll like it. Sure, what
oh,
the hell?
Well.
Possibly.
Thank you so much. Half thank you, guys.
Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat for a Tuesday Kevin and Bean show. Good morning, Ralph.
It is Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
As our old friend,
I don't know,
Jonesy used to say.
Ah.
I miss Jonesy.
He's still with us, right?
not with
I didn't
us.
Miss the news.
Not with us. He's around. He's not with us anymore. It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are in stores today. Here's what you can pick up for your entertainment dollar if you're so inclined. Kenny Chesney's got a new CD. Oh, thank God. Stepped in a Cow Pie Cleaning My Boot is the name of it. I have no idea. It's country music.
That's close enough.
Bite me.
Hey, are there any duets with LL Cool J? Do we know? Does he have his?
No, sadly.
He's stepping up for his accident, yeah. Even more accidental, even more racist?
He's got a one called Intentional Racist, which I think is a great track. You can pick that up. Iggy and the Stooges. Iggy Pop and the Stooges have a new CD.
What?
How is that possible? They're still alive. Ready to Die is the name.
Well, there's your answer.
There you go. Airborne Toxic Event, Such Hot Blood, their new CD is available.
Ooh, great.
And the Iron Man 3 motion picture soundtrack. I'm seeing Iron Man 3 tonight.
Oh, that's going to be so good.
Nerd boner! new movies and TV shows on DVD. Silver Linings Playbook. If you're in the mood for celebrating the Eagles' amazing draft, you can pick up that movie and just...
I think that has anything to do with the draft.
Glimpse inside of the world of Eagles fans. Hmm. Turns out they're all mentally ill.
Yeah.
Terrific movie, wasn't it? Great. I know everybody knows that by now because of all the Oscar nominations, but if you didn't see it, watch it. It's great.
The Guilt Trip, That's that movie, I think, with Seth Rogen and Barbara Streisand.
It is.
On
correct.
The road.
It correct. Is.
You say that as if you've seen it, Kevin.
I have.
Oh, Kevin.
And I told you this at the time, that I make such bad picks for my wife. Occasionally, I let her pick. She picked that one. I went kicking and screaming, and it was pretty good.
Really?
It wasn't that bad.
Son of a gun.
I was very surprised.
Here's the thing. I know for some reason you had a knee-jerk hate reaction to Barbara Streisand.
I do.
I don't know what she's ever done to you other than provide years and years of excellent singing, acting, and directing.
I don't like her singing. So, I don't know. It was much better than I thought it was.
She's always been a good actress and a good filmmaker.
I thought she'd be overbearing and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't bad.
Broken City is also available on DVD. History of the Eagles, not the good ones, the singing ones. That's available if you haven't seen that documentary, by the way. That's a great documentary, too, the story of those guys and the band, how they got together and then split up and then got back together again, and then they split up and then they got back together again. It's like Miley Cyrus, and it's like Bieber and
Selena
Gomez. It's like their relationship. So you can check all that out. While we're talking about new music, great new music by Jonah Falcon, singing sensation Jonah Falcon. If you're not familiar with Jonah, he's got a 13.5-inch penis. And for some reason, someone thinks that makes him qualified to sing a song. He has released It's Too Big onto iTunes. You can check it out if you're so inclined. He has released a song about the fact that his penis is too big. I guess Amy Schumer was the answer from the ladies.
She was the deciding vote.
She was the deciding
vote. She said, hell no.
Not appropriate. We should have a phone-in topic.
Really?
Let's do a scientific survey or something. Let's hear from the ladies. There must be some ladies out there who enjoy climbing Mount Everest.
Right, but
I think no matter what you're talking about, there can be a house that's too big, there can be a banana split that's too big, there can be a penis that's too big. There, at some point, it's just wasted real estate, right?
I don't
First
know.
Of all, the banana split cannot be too big.
See? That's everyone's got their thing that can't
Kevin,
be
if
too
somebody
big.
Brings you a banana split the size of a car, that's no different
Kevin
than a banana
says,
split the size of a basketball.
Tell my children and my wife I won't be home.
That's right.
I'll be home a week from now.
I eat it.
He's eating it.
There's just no stopping.
Anyway, I know you're dying to hear some of Jonah Falcon's new song. Now, he's not singing the regular part?
Verse?
The verse. He is singing. He'll chime in on the chorus. Adam Barta is the name of the pop singer who duets with Jonah on this track, but we thought it was spectacular enough to bring it to you. Here's a little taste of the new song, It's Too Big.
I've heard it from all the guys and every single freaking girl.
They want to try and take a ride on the biggest in the world.
But in order to ride the beast, it must be unfurled.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and it keeps growing. Too damn big, it's just too damn big.
Sing it again, Ola.
It's too damn big, it's just too damn big. Too damn big,
oh, it's just too damn big.
Your penis too damn big, it's too damn big.
It's funny, your comment earlier, Ralph, about what a zero he is in the personality department. Yeah. It reminds me of the discussion we've had so often about how really incredibly beautiful women oftentimes have no personal, personality skills at all because they don't need them.
Right.
And it makes me wonder if that's the case with him, is that his reputation precedes him. He can get all the women he wants without ever having to try.
No, I would beg to differ because a beautiful woman is her, how you behave towards her is based upon her appearance. And so she is trained. She is constantly trained from a young age as she grows up beautiful to be treated in a certain way that shapes her personality. This, you don't know this about this guy until it's pants off time, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So if he's just interacting in the workplace or at school or whatever, people should have been shunning him for the zero that he is.
I just wonder if he's the kind of guy who puts out a song about it, if he's also the kind of guy who wears a T-shirt about it. Like,
well,
he makes
is.
It known up front that so everybody knows
I've
what he's got going on.
I've seen this guy interviewed in different documentaries and things like that, and he's always – he is all about – That's all he has. That's his only claim to fame. That his life is based
T-shirt
around
that says
that.
Too damn big with an arrow.
I don't think he's got the T-shirt, but he does wear bike shorts a lot. That's all I know.
This is the guy, Kevin, who was in
like,
the
here
news.
You go. Here's a picture of him wearing bike shorts.
This is a guy who was in the news last year because he got stopped at TSA. Remember,
that's
they insisted
right.
he was trying to smuggle something onto the plane.
Yeah. That's right. He was.
I thought he had a pipe bomb.
I see. I'm leaving, lady. Ahoy.
So that's available on iTunes.
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
We're talking about
yes.
New music.
Yes.
And more musical news. I'm just full of music today.
You are.
Tim Minchin, our good friend Tim Minchin, who was on not this past April Foolishness, but the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious British comedian, musician. Just got a boatload of Tony Awards dumped on him.
Wow.
What show is his on Broadway?
12 Tony Award nominations for Tim Minchin's Broadway musical, Matilda.
Wow.
Based on the famous Roald Dahl novel about the little girl who doesn't fit in. It was made into a feature film, a bad feature film, with Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman. But the original book is charming, and this Broadway musical, by all accounts, is just getting rave reviews. And now he's being celebrated with the Tonys.
Good for him.
That's great.
Congratulations. So maybe we can talk to Tim and see what's up. But brilliantly funny man and very entertaining. So that's good.
I don't know if you've been watching this season of Californication, but he has been a regular player on that show this year. And he has been terrific. He's a really, really good actor, too.
You know who would be very popular at the Tony Awards? Jonah Falcon. I'm just saying.
Yes, he would.
Gotta dance. I guess it would be, it's different in the gay community versus the straight community about the size of your unit. It seems to be a prized attribute in the gay community to have something that significant.
This guy's an ugly effort, too.
He's not attractive.
He's really not attractive.
He obviously has no interest in a treadmill or a salad.
Nope.
He's got, I think he's just so focused on what's south of his belt line that he just has let the rest of his life fall into ruin.
I have never seen one that big before in my life.
Well, what are you going to do? Today's celebrity birthdays. Cloris Leachman is 87 years old today. Singer Willie Nelson celebrates his 80th birthday. Chris Henderson of Three Doors Down is 42. Akon celebrates his 40th birthday. Johnny Galecki of The Big Bang Theory is 38. Kirsten Dunst, 31. And Diana Agron from Glee, plays Quinn on that show. She's 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, you've had a fight with your neighbor. We want to take your calls on that. Neighbor fights.
Neighbors.
I've had it with both sides of me. I've had it.
Yeah, well.
And I silenced them.
What's the common element in those battles?
I shut those bitches down.
There's three houses in a street in a row, and the guy in the middle is having problems on both ends.
So I wonder if those neighbors have had trouble with the people who live on the other side of them, Kevin. I bet not.
It's all they have, no matter what you guys say.
Oh, I wonder if anyone's dressed in black carrying a ladder in that neighborhood.
I wonder if anyone's naked outside his garage trying to figure out how to get back into his house in that neighborhood. What if that happens?
Brand new Internet Roundup tomorrow morning. Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage and comedian Simon Amstel.
So good.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.